Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
I make music with my friends.
You got a laptop. There it is. You got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
A long intro, but I'm sitting here and I'm pushing buttons and I got duct tape and baling wire going on, you know, so I'm trying to make sure that I get everything all situated so that I can make sure that I can put on a good show for everybody. Try to bring you some good content and some good information and stuff like that. You're listening to Mad Science. And I'm going to be mouthing off at myself today. So I'm going to basically take a trip back in time and see what I was mouthing off back then and see what kind of trouble I can get myself into with myself and such. But either way, like I said, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And then you can help me mouth off at myself, too. See, I did a lot of research, and I spent a lot of time out there on YouTube, which I'll post my link to my YouTube channel in the Super Chat room as well, you know, but I had a lot of other people mouthing off at me, so I think maybe it's my turn to mouth off at myself, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you want, while you're over there in the Super Chat room, scroll down there underneath the chats, and you'll see a link for People Radio Network. Or you can just get on that little digital keyboard thing and type in www.peopleforpeople.ning.com. And, yeah, it's spelled just the way that it sounds. And so, go over there and tell them I said hi. Anyway, mouthing off at myself, that's what I'm going to be doing today. I'm going to take a trip back in time and see what kind of stuff I was talking about back in the day. You know, see what kind of ridiculousness we can get into. But either way, it's all energy related. That's what the whole deal is, because, you know, I'm sitting here in the year 2020 and I'm trying to figure out, you know, hey, how far have we gone? Well, let's find out. Let's take a stroll down memory lane with old crazy haired Shaziz and see what we were talking about back in 2019. Woohoo! So, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com, but it gets better than that. So, if you want the actual start page of everything that I'm working on for the moment, go to www.shazizz.com, and it'll give you links to everything. So, with that said, renewable ridiculousness. That's what we're going to talk about today, and so I'm going to play a few things, and I'm going to probably do what I do best, mouth off about them. Anyway, been working real hard on the site, trying to get everything situated, everything back to the HTTPS thing, so that we'll get better search results, hopefully, if Google leaves us alone long enough. But if you notice, there's some differences on the sites. We got a new radio player there that you can also share the link on Facebook and Twitter. So if you do happen to have Facebook and Twitter and you want to help us out, just click it over there and share it for us and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, let's just get past all that. We got a really cool looking website that I'm working on, and let me know what you think about it. I appreciate that. So anyway, let's see if we can get our act together here. I've been sitting here fighting with the weather and electricity and all this other craziness, but anyway, let's start with this one right here. Now keep in mind, these podcasts that I'm going to be playing, I don't agree with majority of everything that these folks are saying, but it still needs to be said anyway, because there is some renewable ridiculousness going on, and it's just kind of counterproductive. Can I get an amen on that, brother? It's kind of not like helping anything. Oh, well, let me let this guy here talk for a second.
Yeah, let him talk and shut up there, stupid. Well, that was interesting.
What are natural resources? Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment. Earth's natural resources include light, air, water, plants, animals, stone, soil, minerals, and fossil fuels. In our solar system, the Earth is truly unique, and it's kind of amazing. People of Earth must have some natural resources to live. They use others to simply make their lives better. Natural resources can be considered either renewable or non-renewable.
And this is non-renewable resources. This is often just a challenge of renewable resources.
Non-renewable resources have a fixed amount, and they can be used up. Examples include coal, natural gas, oil, minerals, and nuclear energy. Technically speaking, even the sun's energy is non-renewable, but there's so much of it, it can't be used up in a human timescale. Renewable resources are just that. They are replenished by nature within a very short period of time. Renewable resources rely on the Earth's natural processes to be replaced. Renewable resources include plants, animals, water, and air. Trees are renewable. They can be used by humans and then replenished by nature in a relatively short amount of time. Here's how it works. We can cut trees down for lumber to build houses or furniture, or even use the wood to make something like this awesome guitar. In place of the tree we cut down, we plant a seedling, and 40 to 60 years is a full-grown tree to take its place. Cycle is replenished or renewed much more quickly. The water that we drink, which incidentally makes up most of our bodies, is replaced in a short period of time by the water cycle. Evaporation, condensation, precipitation. See? Replenished by nature. That's what makes it renewable. It's a cycle. The cool thing is, water is moving naturally through the water cycle, and the energy in that movement can be harnessed by humans as renewable power. Wind energy comes from solar heating of the Earth from the sun. The heated air rises and the cooler air moves in to replace it. Ta-da! We have wind. The wind energy can be converted to energy that humans can also use. There are cycles all throughout nature. The oxygen we humans consume to live is replenished by natural cycles. We exhale CO2, carbon dioxide, which is absorbed by plants. And then, in combination with sunlight in a process that we call photosynthesis, they exhale oxygen and we can breathe. It's replenished by nature. There are lots of cycles in nature. The Krebs or nitrogen cycle, the carbon cycle, the oxygen cycle, the water cycle. There is also a rock cycle. There are even cycles within the Earth, like geothermal energy. The water starts as rainwater that has fallen to the surface of the Earth, percolates down to a magmatic, not magnetic, heat source in the Earth. That heated or hot water now rises back to the surface because it's lighter. That hot water can be used as energy by humans, and the cycle starts all over again. This cycle is continuously replenished by nature. Fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, oil, are valuable and powerful sources of energy for humans. We make use of them by extracting the energy they contain by burning them. They are, however, non-renewable on a human timescale. When used, they are not replaced.
I gotta pause that for a second, because every time I hear that word fossil fuel, I want to break out in an awesome display of kung fu, man. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
Coal is a fossil fuel. It began as plants and...
There goes the kung fu again, but I'll tell you what, I'm getting rowdy up over here.
Swamp a very, very long time ago. After the plants died, thousands of years of pressure from sediments pressing down, combined with heat, changed those plants into coal.
Ooh.
Fossil fuels are extremely... extremely useful to humans, but they're not being replaced as quickly as they are being depleted. So eventually, they'll be used up. They are non-renewable. The sun is an interesting...
Pause, that's a big hock a hooey in the biggest history of the hocks a hooeys that you ever hocked a hooeyed about, because that... Talk about it ain't renewable. Until the world stops doing what it has been doing for all these years, you ain't gonna run out of nothing. The earth recycles everything. Shut up, stupid. Let's keep going.
Case in the renewable versus non-renewable conversation, because the sun is really huge. And technically, its energy is non-renewable. It's not being replaced.
But the sun is so huge.
The use of the sun's energy by humans will not use it up. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That something could be that huge? Imagine that the sun is the size of a basketball. And that would mean that the Earth is the size of this wiffle ball. Nope. This eyeball. Nope. The Earth would be the size of this teeny little... That's right. If the sun were the size of this basketball, the Earth would be the size of this itty-bitty little BB. That means there's a lot of solar energy available to us Earthlings from the sun. A lot. I even have a 21-panel solar array in my front yard to capture the sun's energy and to use it in my home and TV studio. I once visited an elementary school in Southern California that had solar panels over its parking lot. It used...
I'm not trying to be rude, but I think this dude's been toking on the bong, man. He's been hitting the happy grass or something like that. Let's keep going here.
That energy to power the elementary school. Cool, right? These days, there are lots and lots of humans. Energy is necessary for all human activities. Right now, there are about 7 billion of us. That's the most in all of human history. So, using nature's resources in very smart ways is really important. Alternative energy resources are considered renewable resources and rely on natural processes. Flowing or moving water, sunlight hitting the surface of the planet, heat in the core of the planet, the movement of air, plants growing and dying, are all part of the Earth's natural systems which produce energy that humans can use. Alternative energy resources include sun, wind, geothermal, biofuels, or biomass. Wind energy comes from changing the power of moving air into a useful form that we can use. Wind can be captured by wind turbines that spin and produce mechanical energy, which is converted into electrical energy, which we can use. Solar energy. Energy coming from the sun is converted to electricity that we can use. Sunlight hits a solar panel. The solar energy is converted to electric energy, and we can use it. Hydro or water power. Hydropower is energy captured from moving water. Hydroelectric energy is created by a dam. Falling water, driven by gravity, a natural system, turns a turbine which creates mechanical energy. A hydroelectric generator converts the energy into electricity that we can use. Tides on the oceans can also accomplish the same thing. Energy from the movement of water of tides can be captured as energy by humans. Geothermal energy uses heat from inside the earth. Hot steam and water can be tapped by wells and brought from...
You hear that bong bubbling in the background? Toke it up, man!
Beneath the earth's surface, the steam can be used to spin turbines to generate electricity. Or the energy from the heat can be extracted directly from the pipes for humans to use as energy. Biomass, or biofuel energy, is fuel made from plant or animal waste. Energy from the sun is stored in plants. That energy is then converted into a solid, liquid, or gas.
But isn't that biofuel over there that's made out of plants and sticks and all the different biomasses and stuff like that? Isn't that the same thing as fossil fuel? It's just not necessarily as dirty looking? Moving right along. Toke it up, man!
That can provide energy for human use. Non-renewable resources exist in a fixed amount. So once used up, it's going to take millions of years to make more. Non-renewable resources include coal, natural gas, oil, and nuclear energy. Fossil fuels are pretty amazing. They've allowed humans to grow more food than ever before. Design and build space-age homes that can control light and temperature, and even travel outside our biosphere to the moon and beyond. Unfortunately, when burned, fossil fuels create hydrocarbon pollution that harms the planet. Right now, the vast majority of energy we humans use is non-renewable. Renewable resources, solar, biofuel, hydropower, geothermal, and wind are sometimes called alternative energy because they are less commonly used than non-renewable resources. Renewables produce less pollution and can be replenished by nature in a relatively short amount of time.
Here's an idea. Get less pollution by re-engineering the junk that we use. The inefficient junk. That's all it is junk, man.
Renewable. Use it, it comes back. Give it some time, it comes back.
You mean like fossil fuel?
It comes back.
Like fossil fuel?
The future of renewable technology is very exciting. Be on the lookout for cars that can be powered by water, or plants, or...
What, you doggone heretic? You can't be saying cars be powered by water? What kind of ridiculousness? Don't you know about the laws of thermodynamics and all that kind of stuff? You can't compress a liquid? That's what you're trying to say? Man. So, let's live.
Even state-of-the-art cars that run on electricity.
That's what's gonna get you.
Which, of course, can be powered by the sun. Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment. They can be non-renewable or renewable. Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment.
Talk it up, man. See, I told you. Dude's hitting the crack pipe now.
No, yeah, that's pretty much how I felt there at the end there towards that, about that whole entire deal. Renewable and non-renewable. Everything's renewable. All of it is renewable. Science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It doesn't matter what it is that you've used, whether you think you've used the water or you think you've burned some firewood. It doesn't matter. Everything is basically just changing its molecular or chemical structure, and it's actually adding back to the environment the same materials that it was before it ever became what it is now.
Well, I'm right there with you, old John.
So, with that said, the fossil fuels, the coal industry, all this kind of ridiculousness going on, there's no way you're ever going to run out of any of these different deals until this world stops doing what it is and has been doing for years.
That's what I've been
saying.
For
decades, or however long you think this world's been around. All this stuff has been here, everything, every single chemistry, every single chemical, everything You know, mankind is so doggone arrogant, we think we can make some stuff that's going to last forever, but there's nothing that nature cannot break down.
That's it, you preach it.
Now, granted, there are some things that nature takes a longer to break down because, it, you know, the processes or whatever, you know, are a little bit different. But nonetheless, it all breaks down.
That's right. You
whether
got
it be plastic,
there,
you know, with being deteriorated by UV rays, or you know, the hot temperature and the cold temperature, and eventually plastic becomes incredibly brittle and it starts working its way back towards its natural state. Whatever the chemistry was that put up the plastic to begin with, the petroleum products that you hear about all the time.
Yeah, them fossil fuels, bro.
So, you know, the petroleum products, which is everything. It ain't fossil fuel. It wasn't made by a bunch of dinosaurs. It was made by everything from plants and microorganisms and then water and chemistry and heat and pressure and all that kind of stuff. So there's no way you're ever going to see a day when what they like to call fossil fuel is ever going to run out. It's not possible. Right. It's not physically possible. The Earth would have to stop doing what it has been doing since day one. Otherwise, it's not going to, you know.
I just said that just a little while ago, man.
You ain't going to run out of it. Never.
That's it.
But either way, the whole point. The whole point is that a lot of the people who, you know, use these terminology like renewable or non-renewable, they don't understand that every single material, every single chemistry, all of it is being generated on a regular basis, no matter what. We take this one, we mix it with that one, we get plastic. All right, we take this process and we do this with it, we get concrete. So, you know, it's all the same exact stuff. Even concrete will deteriorate over a period of time. You know, some of them, the way that we put things together, last a lot longer than, you know, if you're going to be throwing it in the trash and you want it to biodegrade, it's going to last a lot longer than we anticipated, but nonetheless, nature's still going to break it down. Eventually, it ain't going to be there. But it's going to go back to what it was before. Planting trees, you know, same exact thing. Cutting down trees. Now, yeah, it takes quite a long time to get a very large tree. You know, quite a few years to get a very large tree. So in that incident, if you want a specific area to remain, you know, beautiful, it might be a good idea not to cut down all the trees. And so with that said, regardless of what you're doing, when you're cutting trees down over here, there's trees growing up over there. You stop mowing your grass for a couple weeks, it gets really high. A couple months, it gets even higher than that. You know, a couple years, and now you're living in the jungle again. So
yeah,
nature's in charge. Regardless of what you want to try to think, nature's in charge.
I had that when my doggone lawnmower broke down. About a month worth of not mowing, then got to get out there with one of them big old sickles to try to mow that stuff down long enough to get to the doggone regular lawnmower. Anyway, they say if you find a car hidden in your yard, you might be a redneck. So, anyway, keep going.
First, the pollution portion of the deal. Sure, we pollute on the local level, but and sometimes in a larger scale than that, but there's nothing that we can do to this planet that this planet can't clean up eventually. Now the question is, do we have time to wait around for the planet to clean itself up? Should we be going out there killing off all the different species and, you know, all that kind of stuff like that? No, obviously not. But there's a whole lot to alternative energy than a lot of people think, and it's sometimes as a trade-off on how you manufacture things or, you know, how things actually function. But the same people that's out there talking about saving the planet are the same people who spend the majority of the time trying to fight against any type of move towards renewable energy, which it doesn't bother the energy industry at all, because the energy industry, whether it be the fossil fuel or nuclear power, you know, they're still making money. They don't care. You know, and they don't even really care if you go over to the doggone solar panels or even to the wind turbines. They don't care about that either. You know, it's all about who's in business. Who actually owns the business that is the solar power companies and stuff? You think it was the average Joe who was able to afford the massive solar arrays or massive wind farms or hydroelectric dams and stuff like that? Now, it wasn't the average Joe. These companies out there, they're about a mile and a half.
Hold on, I object. It was the average Joe who had to pay for it. All those big old giant wind turbines that you see out there as you're driving out towards places like Michigan and stuff like that. They got these big old giant wind farms out there. And of course, you know, they say those things are karate chopping birds out of the sky. You know? And so how you going to get around all that with all that karate chopping birds up out of the sky instead of talking about whacking bats and everything else like that? Ain't nobody got enough common sense to put a screen over that thing so the birds ain't getting whacked with the blades or something like that. You'd think the doggone bird would be smart enough not to fly in the middle of all that anyway. But hey, whatever. I'll just listen to myself talk over here on this other side right here. So, you know, see what I had to say back then.
Steps worth it. They're ahead of the game. So when it comes down to it, they're still going to be in charge. They're still going to be charging you an electric bill as long as you're using the system's power. But the next thing that I'm going to play here, and like I said, I don't agree with all these podcasts that I'm playing. I'm just kind of letting them play out because this is the kind of ridiculousness. Renewable ridiculousness is kind of, it never runs out, man. It's pretty amazing. But it's what hinders the whole thing about free energy. It's what makes this world, you know, a lot more difficult to get new ideas on the table because of the way that people's mindsets are.
Yeah, not to mention you got people out there faking all kinds of alternative energy devices, calling it free energy, making clickbait farms on YouTube. Of course, you know YouTube supports that as well. Anything that's disinformation, YouTube's good for that.
As far as how we should get to where they think we need. Now, California, they're supposedly the leaders in renewable energy, but the Californians are the ones fighting the most, the hardest against all of it. But let's move right along here. I want to jump into this here.
Thank you very much. When I was a boy, my parents would sometimes take me camping in California. We would camp in the beaches, in the forests, in the deserts. Some people think the deserts are empty of life, but my parents taught me to see the wildlife all around us. The hawks, the eagles, the tortoises. One time when we were setting up camp, we found a baby scorpion with its stinger out, and I remember thinking how cool it was that something could be both so cute and also so dangerous. After college, I moved to California and I started working on a number of environmental campaigns. I got involved in helping to save the state's last ancient redwood forest and blocking a proposed radioactive waste repository set for the desert. Shortly after I turned 30, I decided I wanted to dedicate a significant amount of my life to solving climate change. I was worried that global warming would end up destroying many of the natural environments.
You know, the dude said that he thought a scorpion was cute. And, you know, I thought that was probably about the craziest thing he was fixing to say, but now he's like going on up into the climate change thing, so, you know, I bet it's going to just about get interesting right here. So we ought to send him a bunch of the cute little scorpions and see, you know, how cute he thinks they are when they all come crawling up in the house and stuff. Anyway, let's just let the man talk. What's wrong with you, man?
...that people had worked so hard to protect. I thought the technical solutions were pretty straightforward. Solar panels on every roof, electric car in the driveway, that the main obstacles were political. And so I helped to organize a coalition of the country's biggest labor unions and biggest environmental groups. Our proposal was for a $300 billion investment in renewables. And the idea was not only would we prevent climate...
Yeah, but the thing about it is, who's going to pay that $300 billion there, mister? That's what I want to know.
Change, but we would also create millions of new jobs in a very fast-growing high-tech sector. Our efforts really paid off in 2007, when then-presidential candidate Barack Obama embraced our vision, and between 2009 and 2015, the U.S. invested $150 billion in renewables and other kinds of clean tech.
Well, that's half of your $300
billion. But right away, we started to encounter some problems. So first of all, the electricity from solar rooftops ends up costing about twice as much as the electricity from solar farms. And both solar farms and wind farms require covering a pretty significant amount of land with solar panels and wind turbines, and also building very big transmission lines to bring all that electricity from the countryside into the city. Both of those things were often very strongly resisted by local communities, as well as by conservation biologists who were concerned about the impacts on wild bird species and other animals. Now, there was a lot of other people working on technical solutions at the time. One of the big challenges, of course, is just the intermittency of solar and wind. They only generate electricity about 10 to 30% of the time during most of the year. But some of the solutions that were being proposed were to convert hydroelectric dams into gigantic batteries. The idea was that when the sun was shining and the wind was blowing, you would pump the water uphill, store it for later, and then when you needed electricity, run it over the turbines. In terms of wildlife...
Before he gets too much farther, he's going to start talking about the doggone birds getting karate chopped out of the sky, so be ready for that one.
Like, some of these problems just didn't seem like a significant concern. So when I learned that house cats kill billions of birds every year, it put into perspective the hundreds of thousands of birds, rather, that are killed by wind turbines. It basically seemed to me at the time that most, if not all, of the problems of scaling up solar and wind could be solved through more technological innovation. But as the years went by, these problems persisted and in many cases grew worse. So California is a state that's really committed to renewable energy, but we still haven't converted many of our hydroelectric dams into big batteries. Some of the problems are just geographic. It's just you have to have a very particular kind of formation to be able to do that, and even in those cases, it's quite expensive to make those conversions. Other challenges are just that there's other uses for water, like irrigation, and maybe this is the most significant problem, is just that in California, the water in our rivers and reservoirs is growing increasingly scarce and unreliable due to climate change. In terms of this issue of reliability, as a consequence of it, we've actually had to...
This guy's a moron, man. He's talking about how they're getting in California that they're really running scarce on water. What I'd like to know is, how could you be in California where you're so close to the doggone ocean and you're ever going to run out of water? See, you jump over there to Dubai, and they have huge desalination plants that basically turn that salt water into fresh water, and they, you know, pretty much sell the salt, too, when they're done. So, you know, these, some of these excuses that these folks come up with is just mind-blowingly ridiculous. So, you know, I'm just saying, if these folks can't get their act together, what did they do with that $150 billion that they got from the doggone U.S. government? That's what I want to know. Where did that money go, man? Where did all that money go? Because it obviously ain't got nothing fixed. And, you know, California, you know, you folks over there got to get your act together, man. You going to stand next to the ocean talking about dying of thirst? You should have paid attention in science class. That's the simple of it. Let's keep rolling here.
Stop the electricity coming from the solar farms into the cities because there's just been too much of it at times. Or we've been starting to pay our neighboring states like Arizona to take that solar electricity.
Now, do you hear that? They got to start trying to get their neighbors to take some of that electricity to get rid of it because there's too much at some times. Man, I tell you, these folks, you ever heard of efficiency? I tell you what, these folks just, they crack me up, man.
And it is to suffer from blowouts of the grid. And it turns out that when it comes to birds and cats don't kill eagles. Eagles kill cats. What cats kill are the small, common sparrows and jays.
Man, I ain't never seen an eagle swoop down and kill a cat. I ain't never seen, not once, never in my entire lifetime have I ever seen an eagle swoop down and kill a cat. Where do these folks get their statistics at? Alright? Now, you know, it's one thing to talk about the wind turbines karate chopping birds out of the sky and bats and stuff like that, but now the eagles are going to swoop down and get your cat. You better keep your cat in the house, man. That's all I can say.
Bees and robins, birds that are not endangered and not at risk of going extinct. What do kill eagles and other big birds like this kite, as well as owls and condors and other threatened and endangered species, are wind turbines. In fact, they're one of the most significant threats to those big bird species that we have. We just haven't been...
Oh, man. I'm getting a visual as I'm sitting here watching this guy. Look, I don't know what he's been sniffing on, but, you know, it must have been that goddamn... out there huffing some paint or something like that, some dang lacquer thin or something like that. That's what he's in the wood shop. He's going to town, man. I'll tell you what, huffing that doggone lacquer something, because you know, big condors flying past the wind turbine and all of a sudden karate chop, whack, man, that bird just down. So I remember driving past all those wind turbines, looking up at them. Some of them weren't even running, because they were making too much electricity, so they had a lot of them shut down. And as I'm sitting here watching these things spin around, they're not going very fast at all. They're just kind of moving around. I didn't see any birds flying out of the sky. I didn't see one of those doggone blades whip around and slap a bat and sling it over onto my windshield or anything like that as I was driving by. Didn't see birds falling up out the sky. But then, if you got some doggone common sense and you think that really is an issue, man, do what they did back in the old days. They used to have these old brass bladed fans, and they was wide open in the air, you know, and they started realizing that people were kind of stupid, and they'd stick their fingers in them blades. You know, get up there too close and get their hair yanked up in the doggone thing. And so, you know, the industry out there said, well, we got to protect the dummies, so we're going to put some screen over the front of this, so it makes it harder for you to get your finger in between them blades. So, you know, I guess I'll have to go out there and look, see if there's a video of birds getting karate chopped out of the sky. As many of them doggone wind turbines as I've seen, that's the, you know, I ain't been hearing nothing like that.
Reducing the airspace with many other objects like we have wind turbines over the last several years. And in terms of solar, you know, building a solar farm is a lot like building any other kind of farm. You have to clear the whole area of wildlife. So this is a picture of one-third of one of the biggest solar farms in California called Ivanpah. In order to build this, they had to clear the whole area of desert tortoises, literally pulling desert tortoises and their babies out of burrows, putting them on the back of pickup trucks and transporting them to captivity, where many of them ended up dying. And currently, the current estimates are that about 6,000 birds are killed every year, actually catching on fire above the solar farm and plunging to their deaths. Over time, it gradually struck me that there was really no amount of
That's the biggest load of crud I've ever heard in my life. I don't know what the heck this guy's drinking or smoking or whatever. He got to be on the happy crack, man. He's toking up the ganja or something like that. Doggone bird flying past the solar panel catching on fire. Man, I've been around huge solar arrays. Never once have I ever seen a bird catch on fire flying around a doggone solar panel. That deal, man, that's... just, I gotta keep going. This guy, I swear, man, he's got the joy juice going on. Must have been hitting the bong and then turned around and hit the jug at the same time, because doggone bird, I can see it right now, man. Big old buzzard flying past the solar panels, and next thing you know, woof, burst into flames, spontaneous combustion. Then that dang flaming bird lands on the roof of somebody's wood shake house and sets it on fire, and somebody's wanting to sue somebody. Man, that's ridiculous.
Logical in a...
Hold on a second. Birds, I'm gonna have to replay that. Boy, I missed that one there.
It's a lot like building any other kind of farm. You have to clear the whole area of wildlife. So this is a picture of one-third of one of the biggest solar farms in California called Ivanpah. In order to build this, they had to clear the whole area of desert tortoises, literally pulling desert tortoises and their babies out of burrows, putting them on the back of pickup trucks and transporting them to captivity, where many of them ended up dying. And currently, the current estimates are that about 6,000 birds are killed every year, actually catching on fire above the solar farm and plunging to their deaths.
Now, you want to tell me that ain't renewable ridiculousness? So, there's a new one right there. Birds are catching on fire above the solar panels and plunging to their death. So, not only are the birds getting karate chopped out of the sky by the wind turbines, but they're catching on fire above the solar panels. Good job, California! Are you serious? Oh man, that's probably the best one yet. Doggone birds catching on fire and flying above the solar panel, bursting into flames, man. And next thing you know, we're across the street over there, doggone wind turbines karate chopping a buzzard out of the sky. And I don't know what the heck's going to happen with the geothermal, man. Oh, shoot. Doggone crawdads will be coming up out of the ground, already boiled and everything. Well, I tell you what, that's about as intelligent as those people that were trying to say that the solar panels would suck all the energy out of the sun. And even though science is sitting here talking about how much larger the sun is and how long it's actually supposedly been around, and you're going to drain it dry and it's all going to be dark and we're all going to freeze to death. These folks, I don't know where they go to learn science at, man, but I'll tell you what, the system has a clown show going on of biblical proportions, because these folks ain't got a clue
and we're gonna have
how nature really works.
When the sun goes out, we're going to have snotsicles.
Let's keep on going, because we got to find out what other tragedies. We got birds catching on fire above solar panels. We got birds getting karate chopped out of the sky by wind turbines. Man, I got to hear what's next here.
Not to mention the snow.
Over time, it gradually struck me that there was really no amount of technological innovation that was going to make the sun shine more regularly or wind blow more reliably. In fact, nothing could. You could make solar panels cheaper, you could make wind turbines bigger, but sunlight and wind are just really dilute fuels. And in order to produce significant amounts of electricity, you just have to cover a very large landmass with them.
No, you don't. You have to know how to use it efficiently. You have to be able to store energy. And once you understand how energy actually moves, it's ridiculously simple, and you don't need near the amount of solar panels that everybody thinks you gotta have in order to run the same amount of power. But either way, you know, this is actually an environmentalist that is going basically against renewable energy sources, and this is only one of many videos out there. So I don't know what these folks want.
Well, let me cut in there, brother. I agree with you, man. You know, see, and technology's getting to the extent where now we're going to have clear solar panels where we could actually put them in the windows of each and every house out there. So, you know, look, calm yourself down, brother. We'll be all right. Everything's going to work out eventually. You know, things will get situated and technology will catch up and surpass the idiocracy that we're having to deal with here. So, you know, let's just keep going. What do you think?
Maybe they want you just to shut off your AC and your light and go live in a mud hut, man.
I ain't living in no mud hut.
Take some cold showers whenever it rains, and you know, live the true hippie lifestyle sit there and do your little yoga thing, you know. All right, here we go.
All of the major problems with renewables aren't technical, they're natural. Well, dealing with all of this unreliability and the big environmental impacts obviously comes at a pretty high economic cost. You know, we've been hearing a lot about how solar panels and wind turbines have come down in cost in recent years, but that cost has been significantly outweighed by just the challenges of integrating all of that unreliable power onto the grid. Just take, for instance, what's happened in California. At the period in which solar panels have come down in price very significantly, same with wind, we've seen our electricity prices go up 5 times more than the rest of the country. And it's not unique to us. You can see the same phenomenon happened in...
So listen to this right here. He's talking about the energy prices going up because of renewables. See, I thought the whole concept was California wanted everyone's house to be a 0 point by a certain period of time, which means that their house is completely self-contained as far as whatever energy they actually use. They got their own solar and wind or other alternative energies going on, and so that you're not actually tapped into the power grid. So if you got a solar panel deal and you're tapped into the power grid, you got other jive turkeys out there running their appliances off of your solar panel power too. So if you want to be totally self-contained, you get completely off the doggone grid. You let nature provide the energy that you want to run your house and so on.
Yeah, let me cut in here for a second, brother. See, this is what I'm talking about. And these are the jive turkeys out there that decided they wanted all this this alternative energy to begin with. And now it's all like, boo-hoo, our electrical bill went up. That's because y'all need to elect some people with some common sense instead of all the craziness out there. Man, I'll tell you what, acting a fool and then turn around, you know, try to blame it on everything else and the same doggone thing that you was trying to force everybody to do anyway. They were talking about retrofitting people's house. You know how much it costs to retrofit your house to make it a 0 point house? You got your own solar panels on your roof and your wind turbines and everything. I don't think these folks thought this out very well. Anyway, sorry, I didn't cut you off there, brother. That's some pretty good stuff.
But these folks out there, I swear, the lack of common sense is just mind-blowing. I can't understand why it is that, one hand, they want one thing, and on the other hand, they're preaching against the same thing that they said they wanted. So, here we go.
Germany, which is really the world's leader in solar, wind, and other renewable technologies, their prices increased 50% during their big renewable energy push. Now, you might think, well, dealing with climate change is just going to require that we all pay more for energy. That's what I used to think. But consider the case of France. France actually gets twice as much of its electricity from clean, zero-emission sources than does Germany. And yet, France pays half as much, almost half as much, for its electricity. How can that be? Well, you might have already anticipated the answer. France gets most of its electricity from nuclear power, about 75% in total. And nuclear just ends up being a lot more reliable, generating power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for about 90% of the year. We see this phenomenon show up at a global level. So, for example, there's been a natural experiment over the last 40 years, even more than that, in terms of the deployment of nuclear and the deployment of solar. You can see that at a little bit higher cost, we got about half as much electricity from solar and wind than we did from nuclear. Well, what does all this mean for going forward? I think one of the most significant findings to date is this one. Had Germany spent $580 billion on nuclear instead of renewables, it would already be getting 100% of its electricity from clean energy sources and all of its transportation energy. Now, I think you might be wondering, and it's quite reasonable to ask, is nuclear power safe? And what do you do with the waste? Well, those are very reasonable questions. Turns out that there's been scientific studies on this going over 40 years. This is just the most recent study that was done by the prestigious British medical journal Lancet, finds that nuclear power is the safest. It's easy to understand why. According to the World Health Organization, about 7 million people die annually from air pollution, and nuclear plants don't emit that. As a result, the climate scientist James Hansen looked at it, and he calculated that nuclear power has already saved almost 2 million lives to date. Turns out that even wind energy is more deadly than nuclear.
So now, this particular environmentalist is, sounding more like a nuclear power advocate, and, talking about how many people died from this and that or whatever. But, there's a time when the environmentalists were like all freaking out over nuclear, how dangerous it was. And if you understand what was going on, you wouldn't even have what you would call nuclear waste. The nuclear power when they only shut them down once every couple years. But if they if the control rods and the radioactive rods that they use, the nuclear fuel, if that starts to not boil the water fast enough to keep up with the steam demand necessary, well then that's called spent fuel. So they're only using a small, tiny percentage of the radiation off of that doggone nuclear fuel before it's classified as waste. And so then they'll take and put it in a cooling pond for another 10 years before they can let it deplete enough to be able to store again. But either way, it still has energy even after it got stored. So why is all that energy being wasted? Why is it all being buried? If you understood how actual nuclear energy works, then you would have to understand that there should not be any nuclear waste whatsoever. You can store heat energy. And the amount of water that you can boil with a certain amount of nuclear rods is going to differ than when those things start to get kind of depleted down. You could take that energy that would have been what they call depleted, and you could put it into a smaller system that would produce steam pressure that could then in turn basically go back around and add to the system to supplement the main system. So all the way through that entire process, you could use the brand new fuel, the three-quarter fuel, the half fuel, the quarter fuel, all the way down until you're just recycling all of those radioactive rods until they're completely diluted, depleted or whatever. So the nuclear industry already knows that they could, if they wanted to, build secondary systems that you wouldn't be wasting that energy. When you put those radioactive rods, they're in massive cooling pools, all right? Because that water will take and cut that energy down, allow it to, the water will get warm, it just won't get hot enough to boil. And after a certain point, when the temperature comes down, all those rods in that pool are safe to dispose in a different manner, such as putting them into a sealed container and burying them under the ground. But yet, even in that sealed container, they're not generating enough power to pressurize that container, because you're not turning that water into steam, you're not over pressurizing that container so they can remain sealed unless the actual container itself rusts out and the water leaks out of it.
I'll pause that just for a sec, because Chris posted a video inside the chat room in there about USGS releases birds and insect incineration footage from Ivan Paul Solar Electrical Facility. It's on this tower right here. This is kind of ridiculous too. So if you got a hot zone inside there, and I don't think this is necessarily the same type of solar facility that I'm talking about, where you got all these solar panels out over this big field or something like that. I don't think we're on the same page about that. But if this is a tower that's basically gathering up all the solar power from the ground, and it's got basically turned itself into a huge bug zapper, well, it might be pretty wise, instead of just leaving it open like that, to find the hot zone on there and then put a screen around there so there ain't no bugs or birds that could even get close enough to it to burn up. It's all about common sense any doggone way. But your average solar array out there is not setting birds on fire. That's just pure ridiculousness. If I go physically go to one of these towers and I can sit there and watch and see what the heck is going on, there's a solution to that deal right there. I mean, you could put a huge screen around that thing to keep all the birds from ever even getting even close to it. Just like you could put a huge screen around the doggone wind blades or whatever. But it don't matter. Majority of the deal is the fact that we're not using power properly. If we were using it properly, this wouldn't even be an issue. We wouldn't even be talking about it. But, hey, these folks, they want their cake and eat it too. They want to save the environment, but they don't want to go down the route that's going to take us there. So anyway, let's keep listening to that dude that was just talking a second ago.
you just have a hot mess inside a can. It's not nowhere near what people would like to proclaim as being a bad thing. But either way, it's surprising to hear an environmentalist that is, you know, really hip on nuclear power. So let's keep moving here.
This is a photograph taken of two maintenance workers in the Netherlands shortly before one of them fell to his death to avoid the fire and the other one was engulfed in flames. Now, what about environment?
Okay, so what he just said was that the wind power is killing people. It's like, because not only is it karate chopping the buzzard and the eagle and other birds out of the air, I mean by the thousands if you listen to them, but people are falling off of it whenever they fail and they catch on fire. You know, so you only got fires on wind turbines, so you could go out there and watch. There's actual fires. These things will sometimes catch on fire when they mechanically fail, and it starts a wire fire up in there and burns it all up. Well, if you're up on top of that while that happens, and you ain't got a parachute to leap off of it, then you might be in a jam and decide to jump instead. So, he's talking about people dying, falling off of these things. Well, I think that you might want to be a little bit more cautious when working on them. That's unfortunate. We don't want anybody to die. But either way, you know, the way that it's just being explained is that everything, all the renewables that we thought were so cool, like solar and wind, aren't cool because people are dying from, you know, either working on them or getting karate chopped by them, not to mention the fact that he mentioned earlier about birds catching on fire, bursting into flames in midair, and plunging to their doom, because of that.
Let me cut in there for a second, brother, because there's something that you... See, now, if these doggone wind turbines are so high up there in the air, we got hydraulic technology to where we can literally build telescoping towers that you either use air pressure or hydraulics to raise and lower these things. So whenever they need to work on them, all they'd have to do is lower them down. I mean, there's all kinds of cranes out there with massive hydraulic systems. There's no reason why you couldn't fix this deal. There's a solution, is what I'm trying to say. There's a solution for every single proposed problem in the alternative energy. Of course, everything takes money to get it situated. But you can't sit out there constantly telling everybody they got to get their houses to zero point and that you got to get clean, renewable, alternative energy, that you got to reduce your carbon footprint without trying to use some common sense and the technologies that are available to us so we can get it done. So, you know, all these doom and glooms are going to karate chop the birds out of the sky and the scorpion's going to catch on fire, but he's a cute little sucker, ain't he? Yeah, while he's flaming and running across there, you don't want to get bit by a scorpion, I'll tell you that. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
I'm just like, I've never, ever, ever heard a bird catching on fire above a solar farm. That's pretty doggone wild, man. That's like, okay. Let's keep going.
No impact. Well, I think a really easy way to think about it is that uranium fuel, which is what we use to power nuclear plants, is just really energy dense. About the same amount of uranium as this Rubik's Cube can power all of the energy that you need in your entire life. As a consequence, you just don't need that much land in order to produce a significant amount of electricity. Here you can compare the solar farm I just described, Ivanpah, to California's last nuclear plant, Diablo Canyon. It takes 450 times more land to generate the same amount of electricity as it does from nuclear. You would need 17 more solar farms like Ivanpah in order to generate the same output as Diablo Canyon, and of course it would then be unreliable. Well, what about the mining and the waste and the material throughput? Well, this has been studied pretty closely as well, and it just turns out that solar panels require 17 times more materials than nuclear plants do, in the form of cement, glass, concrete, steel, and that includes all the fuel used for those nuclear plants. The consequence is that what comes out at the end, since it's material throughput, is just not a lot of waste from nuclear. All of the waste from the Swiss nuclear program fits into this room. Nuclear waste is actually the only waste from electricity production that's safely contained and internalized. Every other way of making electricity emits the waste into the natural environment, either as pollution or as material waste. We tend to think of solar panels as clean, but the truth is that there is no plan to deal with solar panels at the end of their 20 or 25 year life. A lot of experts are actually very concerned that solar panels are just going to be shipped to poor countries in Africa or Asia with the rest of our electronic waste stream to be disassembled, often exposing people to really high levels of toxic elements, including lead, cadmium, and chromium, elements that, because they're elements, their toxicity never declines over time. I think we have an intuitive sense that nuclear is a really powerful, strong energy source, and that sunlight is really dilute and diffuse and weak, which is why you have to spread solar collectors or wind collectors over such a large amount of land. Maybe that's why nobody was surprised when, in the recent science fiction remake of Blade Runner, the film opens in a very dark dystopian scene where California's deserts have been entirely paved with solar farms. All of which I think raises a really uncomfortable question. In the effort to try to save the climate, are we destroying the environment? Well, the interesting thing is that over the last several hundred years, human beings have actually been trying to move away from what you would consider matter-dense fuels towards energy-dense ones. And that means really from wood and dung towards coal, oil, natural gas, uranium. This is a phenomenon that's been going on for a long time. Poor countries around the world are in the process still of moving away from wood and dung as their primary energies. And for the most part, this is a positive thing.
Oh my God. Look, this is really this is really nutty. Because if you understood how an internal combustion engine worked, or you know, any of these you know, plants that are burning there's plants out there right now that are burning trash in order to generate electricity. But if you understand the physics of what's going on and the chemistry of what's going on, you can build these plants to not have any so-called carbon emissions out the other end. Now, there's ways to actually reburn the exhaust and use the exhaust for fuel. So it's in that sense, even fossil fuel is renewable because you continue to reburn that until all the carbon's out of the doggone thing. You know, and as long as you have oxygen and hydrogen in the mix, then you're never going to run out of energy. But these folks, I swear, they must not have paid attention in basic science class. They basically must not have paid attention in physics or mechanics or anything like that. It's not that the auto industry doesn't have the capability of building engines that are incredibly energy efficient. It's that the fuel industry, which is part of the auto industry, is also wanting to make some money too. So if you make an engine that'll run for hundreds, if not thousands, of miles on a small amount of fuel, well, then that means the fuel prices are going to go way down because you're going to have an overabundant surplus of fuel. And if you understand how gasification systems work and stuff like that, you could design smaller systems that would actually take trash, turn it into the equivalents of Mr. Fusion, like on Back to the Future, and you could turn your doggone trash into a trip down to the, you know, the coast or something like that. You know? And so I don't understand why these folks do what they do. When you sit here and talk about mad science and I talk about all these different solutions and things, you can't get these folks to come over here and listen to none of this. You know, listen to all this right here. This is supposedly an environmentalist, and he's talking about all different negativities about every single renewable. And the guy before, he was laid like really a joke, man, because that dude, this is non-renewable and this is renewable. Non-renewable, renewable. Every doggone thing out there is renewable. And even the old wore-out solar panels. I got some solar panels down there that would have otherwise been in the garbage that are still producing electricity. Maybe they're not up to their 100%, which would have been, you know, straight out of the factory. But even after they were all cracked up and rolled up like carpet, they're still producing electricity. And so even the so-called used ones are still working. And if these folks don't understand this, and they're just never going to get it. I'm serious. They're just never, ever going to get it. You know, if you use that energy in a different fashion, we can take transistors and MOSFETs and coils of wire, and we can make inverters and all kinds of different circuitry. We can pulse these things. We can ramp the voltage up. We can move that voltage rapidly into storage banks. And you don't even need near the amount of power that you think you do to get the on-time energy that you want to use.
That's what I've been saying.
If industries would stop making things to be energy hogs to begin with, then you wouldn't need near the amount of power. But if you understood the physics of what was actually going on whenever you turn your lights on, why things get hot, and so on, then you could see there's a different way to use electricity, and this is what I've been working on for quite some time. It ain't that we don't have free energy, it's just that we don't understand how to use it properly.
If you get that, if
you finally realize that you've got more power than you actually need in order to run anything, all you have to do is take this energy and use it differently than you did before. And you could still get the same work done that you wanted. You know, when you're having a generator that's fighting it, the doggone the same engine that is running the generator head, then when they're fighting it, when they're opposing each other, there's a reason why it's doing that. You resolve that reason why it's doing that, and that generating system will run efficiently. Now, they seem to do just fine boiling water into steam and then turn around and turn that into energy, because steam pressure is amazing. Why you think the nuclear power is still steam-powered? The coal-fired power plant's still steam-powered. Hydroelectrics is using water pressure to turn these doggone turbines. So, one thing that is a common denominator on all the ones that we're using to generate energy is what? It's water. Water's amazing. It's an amazing material. It's amazing fuel. It's indestructible. But yet, if you would listen to these folks here, you know, it just drives me freaking bonkers. No wonder. This is why I call it mad science. Let's keep rolling.
As you stop using wood as your major source of fuel, it allows the forests to grow back and the wildlife to return. As you stop burning wood in your home, you no longer need to breathe.
All right, look, burning firewood. I'm going to tell you something. I live on 16 acres of land, and I got trees growing after trees growing after trees growing after trees. Nature comes by and blows a tree over, and I have to get rid of that tree, otherwise it'll clutter up the place. And whenever ice storms come through and rip tree limbs off and so on down the line, you can get enough fallen wood to last you the entire winter season off of this property for many people. And so you don't even have to go out and chop down the good trees. You could just wait for one to die naturally and use that wood right there. There's enough resources out there. Look, if you go out there and you look after every single ice storm in every single city, in every single country, everywhere, all over the world, people are trying to get rid of down tree limbs. They're trying to get rid of grass clippings. They're trying to get rid of manure. They're trying to get rid of all kinds of things. All of it is fuel. Every last bit of it is fuel. And if you do some real serious research, you might actually find out what dirt really is. Alright, what is dirt? Think about it. How does dirt even get there? Where did dirt come from? You know? If you go look at the bottom of a pond, what is in the bottom of a pond? You know, they got this stuff that they call muck. Pond scum. Alright, what is that stuff down there? What is that? What is all that crud that usually takes a really good deep pond and fills it in. They call it silt. What is that stuff? Alright? It's fallen tree limbs. It's fallen leaves. It's grass clippings. It's other bugs. It's birds or whatever. You know, the bird gets karate chopped out of the sky by your doggone wind turbine that you're using to aerate your pond or whatever. And it lands in the water and it decays and rots. And what the turtle don't eat, the rest sinks to the bottom. And it turns into the dirt. It turns into the silt. It's all biodegraded. It's broke down. It's ridiculous to listen to this renewable ridiculousness. Because people don't even understand the mechanics of what the earth has been doing for thousands of years. Everything is renewable. There is no such thing as non-renewable. There is no such thing as fossil fuel. But these people, I don't know, you know, I know the education system's jacked up, but and there's probably a lot of lead paint and you know, fluoride in the water, that and maybe some doggone mercury going on there that, you know, is actually causing people some brain issues and stuff. You know, but we're moving into a realm of the movie Idiocracy, and it's getting mind blowing. It's like being in the Twilight Zone. One of these days, they will be trying to water the crops with Gatorade, man. You know? And then when the guy comes by and says, well, no, just use the toilet water. And people's going to look at him all crazy, just like in the movie. But when they did what he said, it worked, and the plant started to grow again. We're going to quite literally, I believe, in our lifetime, live the movie Idiocracy. We're going to see it. I mean, people have got, used to listening to the TV and reading it on the internet, and if they heard it on the internet, it must be true, so, you know, they're all panicking. Doomsday's right around the corner. The world's out to get ya. Climate change is going to kill us all in 12 years. And all this craziness. And you sit here and year after year try to talk to people about the truth about energy. And what do you get in return? You get mocked and ridiculed and called names by the same people who say we're in doom. We're on our way to doom. Global warming, climate change, climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. The science ain't there, but they still say that 90% of all scientists say. No, 90% of all scientists don't say. 90% of the idiots who want you to believe that climate change is a real issue, and they want you to pay money to fix the environment, but you never see it done. If they were really seriously true about what they're saying, then they would be on the bandwagon of checking out all of these different alternative energy researchers out here that are showing the world how to quite literally get free energy while at the same time having to go up against the idiots who are out there faking free energy devices so that they can get clickbait and ad farms put on YouTube. And YouTube supports that. Google supports that. Your government supports that. You support that. The trolls support that. The paid agitators support that. If we ain't got free energy by now, it's because ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody listening to common sense.
Man, you tell them,
brother. This is an environmentalist saying all this craziness, a bird catching on fire because of the solar panels. Really? And the other idiots out there talking about how the solar panels are going to drain the sun dry? My gosh, people. When is this world going to actually get some common sense? They obviously ain't getting it here because they ain't showing up. I threw down a gauntlet. I said, hey, bring them all here. Bring the environmentalists here. Bring the so-called people who care about the environment. Bring them all here.
Let me pause that for a second. You know, there's a doggone, thing called chicken wire, where if you don't want certain things to get into a certain area around your garden or whatever, and it's not even very expensive, you could put some doggone chicken wire up around there to make sure these birds couldn't even get anywhere close to those tires. But those tires in that deal where those bugs and birds were catching on fire, those aren't nothing about what the solar panel arrays that are, they're complaining because they're covering up too much ground. There's a lot of ground out there, and you don't even have to build them out there in the fields and stuff like that. But nonetheless, you go out there, you look underneath those solar panels, and you're going to find there's all kinds of life living around underneath there. And if you don't mow around them, eventually the grass and the weeds and everything will cover them up. So, I don't know what the heck their problem is. If you're worried about the turtles and all the other stuff out there, then make some sort of system right there where they can still have their natural habitat without all the craziness. The whole thing is, where there's a will, there's a way. And, these folks have been complaining. This show here was back in 2019 when I was talking about all this. Ain't nothing changed. We're here in the year 2020 now. Ain't nothing changed. It's all the same old stuff. And the government's out there, where's the government money going? The guy said earlier they got $150 billion towards renewables. Where'd it go? They sure as heck didn't get nothing done. How about taking some of that $150 billion and then turning around and doing some of these things about energy storage and using the energy more efficiently? Taking a learning something. We had AC current from Tesla. We had DC current from Edison, all of which we still use today. And we haven't moved on to any other ways of using energy. We're still boiling water to make steam to turn turbines, for Pete's sake. There ain't no reason for all these shenanigans. But hey, you got the educated idiots out there. And I'm telling you, they're the ones that are in that movie, Idiocracy. What we've got coming out of college these days is just ridiculous. I mean, these people out there talking about saving the environment. Got some little girl running around talking about how that she can see CO2. But she must have some super bionic eyeballs or something like that can see CO2, because ain't nobody else can see it. That's pretty doggone good. But either way, CO2 is supposedly a toxic waste now, according to the doggone EPA. It's a toxic byproduct. But you still have it in your soda. And if they have their way, you won't even have that. You won't have no dry ice or nothing else. I'm telling you, folks, the sheer ridiculousness of, it's beyond ludicrous. It's just so, it's mind-blowing. It's off the scale. The ridiculousness just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And, like I said, this podcast that I'm mouthing off at right now, this doggone thing was in 2019. It's 2020 now. I probably have to revisit this one here for a third time, and so you'll hear me mouthing off at myself, which is mouthing off at myself, But hey, it's job security when it comes to mad science, because regular science dropped the ball. These old fish-eyed fools out there, the jive turkeys, I tell you, they just can't get their act together. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
Bring all the people who want clean, renewable, alternative energy. Let's talk about this. Let's get it done. It's doable. It's all right. We got every single answer to every single question necessary to resolve every single problem on this so-called planet, and you can't get nobody to listen. It's ridiculousness. It's renewable ridiculousness. It's a form of renewable ignorance that is just biblical. We're moving to the movie Idiocracy. We're going to see it in our lifetime. We're going to see Idiocracy in our lifetime. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, all because somebody wants to fight over what they call fossil fuel, something that is a completely renewable source of energy that will never, ever, 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 ever in a trillion, trillion, quadrillion lifetimes ever run out. It's not physically possible until the Earth stops doing what it's been doing. heat, pressure, water, chemistry, all this different stuff right there. It's constantly rejuvenating everything. It's all being recycled. Nature recycles everything. And these foolish people right here, I just swear, oh man, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing how stupid so-called educated people are. You know, hey, I get it. Save the planet. Save the wildlife. We can save the wildlife. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can have our solar panel, and the doggone birds won't be catching on fire, and the doggone turtles will still have shelter from the elements. Man, let's keep rolling. And they put this in the desert too. The poor scorpion now has shade. That's sad, that poor scorpion. He's looking for shade. He's probably tired of catching on fire in there, out there in this direct sunlight. Who knows?
That toxic smoke. And as you go from coal to natural gas and uranium as your main sources of energy, it holds out the possibility of basically eliminating air pollution altogether. There's just this problem with nuclear. While it's been pretty popular to move from dirtier to cleaner energy sources, from energy diffuse to energy dense sources, nuclear is just really unpopular for a bunch of historical reasons. And as a consequence, in the past, I and I think a lot of others have sort of said, well, in order to deal with climate change, we're just going to need all the different kinds of clean energy that we have. The problem is that just turns out not to be true. You remember I discussed France a little bit ago. France gets most of its electricity from nuclear. If France were to try to significantly scale up solar and wind, it would also have to significantly reduce how much electricity it gets from nuclear. That's because in order to handle the huge variability of solar and wind on the grid, they would need to burn more natural gas. Think of it this way, it's just really hard to ramp up and down a nuclear plant. Whereas I think we're all pretty familiar with turning the natural gas up and down on our stove. A similar process works in managing the grid. Of course, it goes without saying that oil and gas companies understand this pretty well, which is why we've seen them invest millions of dollars in recent years.
I gotta pause this for a second. Chris Maresh in the chat room said, Jesus, check this out. The average passenger vehicle emits 411 grams of CO2 per mile. One gallon of liquid soda contains maybe 3 to 4 gallons of CO2 gas. He said this is about 0.65 pounds of gas. 1 gallon of soda is equivalent to driving 1 mile if emitted CO2.
Ah! Stop drinking your soda! All you people out there with your doggone bubbly fizzy sodas and your beers and stuff like that, and your champagnes, every time you do that, you're making all this doggone gas and causing the planet to heat up. Instead of 12 years, we're only going to have 3.5, maybe 2. What's wrong with you people? Better get your act together, I'm telling you that.
In promoting solar and wind. This just raises, I think, another challenging question, which is that in places that are using a lot of nuclear or have grids that are mostly nuclear and hydro, going towards solar and wind and other renewables would actually increase carbon emissions. I think a better alternative is just to tell the truth, and that's what a number of scientists have been doing. I mentioned earlier that hundreds of thousands of birds are killed every year by wind turbines. What I didn't mention is that 1 million bats at a minimum are killed every year by wind. The consequence has been that bat scientists have been speaking out about this. This particular bat species, the hoary bat, which is a migratory bat species, is literally at risk of going extinct right now because of the significant expansion of wind. It's not just wind, it's also on solar. The scientists who were involved in creating the Ivanpah Solar Farm, who were involved in clearing that land, have been speaking out. One of them wrote, "Everybody knows that translocation of desert tortoises doesn't work. When you're walking in front of a bulldozer crying and moving animals and cacti out of the way, it's hard to think that the project is a good idea." And now we can see these phenomena at work at an international level. In my home state of California, we've been stuffing a lot of natural gas into the side of a mountain in order to handle all that intermittent solar and wind. It sprung a leak. It was the equivalent to putting 500,000 cars on the road. And currently in Germany, there's protesters trying to block a new coal mining project that would involve destroying the ancient Hombach Forest in order to get to the coal underneath. all in an effort to phase out nuclear and expand solar and wind. The good news is that I think that people still care about nature enough for these facts to matter. We saw last year in South Korea, a citizen's jury deliberated for several months weighing these different issues. They had to decide whether they were going to phase out a nuclear or keep it and expand it. They started out 40% in favor of expanding nuclear, but after several months and considering these issues, they ended up voting 60% to expand nuclear. A similar phenomenon just happened last week in Arizona. The voters had a ballot initiative to vote on whether or not to continue with nuclear or to phase it out and try to replace it with natural gas and solar. They ended up rejecting it 70-30. And even here in Europe, we saw the Netherlands is one of the first countries in recent memory to actually announce, as they did last week, that they're going to start to increase their reliance on nuclear power in recognition that there's just no way they could generate significant amounts of energy enough from solar and wind to meet their climate targets. I think it's natural that those of us that became very concerned about climate change, such a big environmental issue, would gravitate towards really romantic solutions like harmonizing human civilization with the natural world using renewable energies. But I think it's also understandable that as the facts have come in, that many of us have started to question our prior beliefs and change our minds. For me, the question now is, now that we know that renewables can't save the planet, are we going to keep letting them destroy it? Thank you very much.
Renewables can't save the planet, so we're going to keep letting them destroy it. Folks, if you're listening in, you got any common sense whatsoever, you got to feel like I do. We're living in the movie Idiocracy, man. Quite literally, we're actually witnessing this deal. You know, there's all this talk about climate change, all this talk about how we need.
Hold on there, brother. Let me cut in for a second because Chris Maresh in the chat room said it takes four large McDonald's drinks, 32 ounce, to equal 1 mile of CO2 that your car produces. Stop drinking soda, laugh out loud. But see, you done forgot about 7-Eleven and Quick Trip, got them big old giant bladder buster soda pops. You know, these folks out there got them things with big old giant straws hanging out of them, you know, and they're sucking that down all day long. And so it's not just McDonald's. Man, you got all these fast food joints selling all kinds of different types of sodas, many different flavors and everything. Whole lot of CO2 up in that stuff right there. So it's a combination of all that kind of stuff. You got to factor all that in when you're talking about CO2. You know, there's folks out there that like to pack stuff in dry ice. There's actually folks out there that like to take a little chunk or two of dry ice, stick it down in a 2-liter bottle, put just a bit of dash of either soda or water in there, and cap that puppy off, and it'll expand till it blows up. And those things are loud, too. So, you know, that dry ice is dangerous. We got to get rid of it. You know, and you definitely don't want to pick it up with your bare hands because it'll stick to you whenever you pull your hand off of it. It'll leave your fingerprints behind, and literally. So anyway, I need to hear what I was saying back in 2019. Come on, let's see what you got going on here.
Clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. And no talk about efficiency. No talk about all the different techniques for, you know, hydrogen technology that's already been, proven ad nauseum. And people are still complaining. How long are you going to complain about something? Literally. It's literally mind-blowing. Let me see this here.
So apparently there seems to be a lot of misinformation about renewable energy. Now, a great example of this comes from a recent U.S. town in North Carolina that rejected a new solar farm because of some ridiculous reasons. Now, let me go to members of the Woodland, North Carolina of the town of Woodland, now North Carolina. Now, according to an article coming out of there, done by the Independent, they said that the town had rejected a proposal following some public concerns. Now, the original plan was to allow a company called Strata Solar to build a solar farm off a nearby highway, off Highway 258. Now, during this town council meeting, a local man named Bobby Mann said solar farms, and get this, solar farms would suck up all the energy from the sun, and businesses would not come to Woodland, apparently because they would have no sun left.
Oh, yeah, we're all going to have snot suckers too, man.
J-Man, who, by the way, is a retired science teacher, said that she was concerned that the panels would prevent plants in the area from photosynthesizing, stopping them from growing.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you take all up all that sunlight.
I'm not going to play much more of that because that particular video, he finally gets in there doing a little bit of foul-mouthing, which I don't like on here. But either way, that's just one little example of some of the lack of, I'd like to say, education or, you know, common sense or, you know, communication or whatever, that people just obviously did not pay attention in science class. If you think that this doggone solar panels are going to suck all the energy out of the sun, and it's going to stop plants from growing, and you've obviously never had a solar panel array where you constantly got to go around this thing and trim out the weeds, otherwise the weeds keep growing up around it, and they'll block a doggone sun out from the doggone thing, man.
Yeah, I feel you, brother.
If you're constantly clearing out around it, you'll have weeds growing all over the thing. You'll have vines and everything. Nature's not going to bow down to your solar panel.
Makes me want to go out and start a tire fire.
And as far as all the doggone bats getting karate chopped out of the sky and the birds in the last ridiculousness, I mean, how many millions of bats are laying underneath all these things? So somebody's got to go out there and look firsthand to get the firsthand deal. Somebody got to show me a video or some sort of evidence, you know, the body count of birds and bats laying underneath wind turbines, because I've never seen it. Not once. Now, the chances of a bird flying right straight into a windmill like that, I mean, why weren't you hearing about this years ago when the farmers were using windmills to pump the water out of the wells and to run little generators to keep some lights going on in their house? And those types of windmills look like they were more dangerous than the modern type, with lesser blades now for, you know, better aerodynamics or whatever. But those old style ones, you know, they look like almost like looking down the blender. So maybe some birds might have got chopped up because they flew right straight to the doggone thing. But if you...
Yeah, let me cut in there, brother. See those old-style windmills out there, they had those big giant-looking fan blades on there. And them doggone things right there looked like they could mulch up a bird, you know. But we never heard nothing about that back in the day, when all them farmers had all them windmills out there, about these windmills out there whacking bats and birds, and they must have had a whole pile of birds laying underneath those doggone things. I've been out there where all those old antique windmills are. I didn't see no doggone bird piles laying down there, you know, like it chopped in half or something like that. But those old style ones, those are a lot more dangerous than the new ones. Must not be a very smart bird going to fly up in there anyway, so whatever.
Never heard about that. And so I don't know where they're getting all this. So somebody go out there and find some videos of a bird getting karate chopped out of the sky by one of these things. And even at that, you know, you don't need near as many of these things as you think you do in order to get the same amount of energy. The solar panel's the same doggone thing. But you're still not gonna overcome nature.
Well, not to mention that, you know, when you drive down the road, you'll see birds on the side of the doggone road because tractor trailers and cars are hitting birds all the time because they fly down to get the bugs from the headlights of the car. And so, you know, they get japped, slapped by the doggone grill of the car, and they don't fare so well. So that means everybody needs to start driving around at night with their lights off so we can save the wildlife. You know, and there's, and I tell you, we're just going to have to just stop with technology, period. You know, it's sad when you see all these animals. Some of these dumb people out there, when they see a you know, squirrel or a possum or a raccoon or some animal running across the road, they goose the gas and run them over on purpose. So you're going to have to change the human brain there first before we can start saving the environment. Most of these folks out there, these environmentalists, I guarantee you they ain't walking to where they're going. They ain't riding around in a doggone rickshaw with all their friends pulling the deal. You know, they're not out there doing that. Of course, you know, they're not going to want to use a donkey or a horse because that would be cruel too. Plus, the donkey or the horse would be releasing some methane and dropping some piles in the street and all that kind of stuff. Man, there's, for everything that there's bad, there's good, vice versa, and you know, we're going to have to work our way through all this. But it all boils down to, if you can't get down to incredible efficiency, you're not going to be able to figure this out. And as far as the wind turbines or whatever, even if it was possible that a bird would catch on fire flying over a big old solar array, you know, those were up on towers. There's something different going on there. That ain't got nothing to do with those big old solar panel sets out there. But either way, even if you thought that was going to be an issue, there's ways around to ensure that the bird can't even get nowhere near the doggone thing, so it wouldn't be within that focal point of the heat anyway, so it wouldn't be an issue. Period. So, you know, it's all about a lack of common sense as far as I'm concerned.
Let nature do what nature does, and you'll find out that even that doggone wind turbine will have vines growing all up it. And plants will climb to sunlight. They need sunlight. So they will actually guide themselves to sunlight. They'll go right around that solar panel. They'll wrap that solar panel up like a, you know, a nifty little Christmas package or something. They're not playing around. Nature's in charge. Mankind is not. But mankind, for some ridiculous reason, believes that mankind is powerful enough to overcome nature. Now we sit here and boo-hoo when nature tears our houses down, and we don't seem to understand that maybe it ain't because nature's tore our houses down, it's that we don't have the construction skills to build houses with geometrical shapes that will allow the wind to just wrap right on around it. That'll allow the rain to run off smoothly, you know? And so you got this big old wooden house basically made out of sticks, and the big bad wolf comes along and blows it down, and the three little pigs are freaking out. Except for the one that he built his house out of bricks, and the wind came by and it blew and blew and nothing happened. Only did maybe get a big old powerful wind throw something through the window. But outside of that, you can even make bulletproof glass. So not even the doggone tornado is going to throw stuff through that, you know.
Yeah, and that doggone wolf would be out there hyperventilating, man, trying to blow that brick house over. You know, use different materials out there. You could quite literally create domes that you could build houses inside of. That these domes that even in worst case scenario during a flood would, you know, float up or whatever. Stay anchored in place right where you're at. You can have enough cable work if you had the great flood again. You'd still be all right. Be up there bobbing around. Everything's all good. But that's the thing. You know, we're here in the year 2020 now. We still ain't even got nowhere near to what we could be doing. You know, they want to make money, folks. It's that simple. They want to make money, so they make stuff out of trash. Basically, you know, weak materials, the cheapest possible. A whole bunch of cracker box houses all over, and then wonder why it is that the tornadoes rip them down. Nature's tough. Nature's always been tough. Nature's going to continue to be tough. And so if we want to have structural integrity, we got to start learning a bit about basic science and physics and geometrical shapes and start building houses, you know, dwellings for people to live in a manner in which it would be, you know, good in the environment that they're in. If you live in Tornado Alley, you want a good house that's going to let that tornado go right on by and not have to worry about it. It's doable. But, you know, even in this energy issue right here, don't matter. The environmentalist, the representation out there is just, you know, pure ridiculousness. Because they can't seem to get their act together. And talk about $150 billion or $150 million, whatever. Even $150 million, that's still a lot of money. Count that up. See if you can dig that much change out of your couch. All right? If the government takes that kind of money and gives it to people like that, with that kind of attitude, ain't nothing going to get done. Now, if the government took a fraction of that kind of money and gave it to a guy like me, I'd have prototypes sitting on every one of your doggone tables within 30 days' time. These people out there are supposedly the talented elite, the mega science guys or whatever. You know, the folks out there that are working for places like, you know, Area 51 and, you know, for all these different military industrial complexes and stuff like that. People out there building all these fancy jets and everything. You know, these folks out there, they got the resources they need, but they don't get to keep the funds. They might get paid pretty doggone well, but they ain't getting filthy stinking rich off it because they don't own the patents. About the time we the people decide we're going to turn around and do it the right way, then we'll start having, you know, we will be the investors in our own people's corporation to where we pull our resources together. Instead, we're giving all of our money and our power over to the government entities that are sitting there telling us that we're doomed if we don't get rid of CO2 and the planet's heating up and all this kind of stuff. Polar bears are going to be floating around on those doggone little life preservers trying to cling on for dear life. You know, it's come on, man. These folks are ridiculous.
I just don't get it. We're here in the year 2019, getting ready to go into the year 2020, and we still haven't got our act together.
That's right.
We're in 2020, still have a house that was prone to sink. Well, then your house is more than likely going to sink. But you live in a flood zone where your house is on pontoons and stilts, and so whenever the water comes in, your house raises up. You still have your house, you still have your garage and your car. And you might have to take a boat into, you know, land in order to be able to get to work on time. But either way, there's people who live right next to the river in flood zones, known flood zones, that, you know, are doing just fine. There's people who live in swamps, you know, with all the snakes and alligators and spiders and all that kind of jazz. And they're doing just fine. Necessity is the mother of invention. If you think that you have, a problem, then you use all the physics and science to resolve that problem. So now you got rain, wind, and flood-proof homes, and even fireproof homes. Heck, Barry's talking about a material that's made with hempcrete, and it's fireproof, you know. So you don't have to worry about your house burning down. There's all kinds of materials out there that are natural that, you know, resist the forces of nature. But, you know, hey, you don't hear people talking about it. So, I want to play another one that has to do with nuclear power. Video unavailable. Watch this video on YouTube. That figures. Try it again. Same exact thing. I swear, they're making it harder and harder to do anything.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to Test Tube Plus today. I'm Trace, and I'm here with my good friend Julian Hugin, also from D News. He is a big fan of renewable energy. He literally has it on his t-shirt. If you haven't tuned in to Test 2 Plus before, this is episode 2 of 5 on alternative energy sources, so make sure you check out the first episode. But is there a best alternative energy, Julian?
In my opinion, my personal favesies is nuclear power.
Nuclear power.
Nuclear power is so cool.
It's just a good source of energy.
It's so amazing.
That dude said favesies. What the heck is he on? Must be an out there hitting on the bong as well.
And much maligned. And so I am here today because I want to defend nuclear power and maybe change a few minds about all the amazing things it has to offer.
Okay, and since I also like nuclear power, I will devil's advocate in our defense of nuclear power. So when it comes to nuclear power, I think we should break down a little bit about what that is. So it's better than coal and gas, I mean, I guess.
Sure.
You're still pulling the fuel out of the ground, right? And it's, of course, radioactive.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the problem with coal and natural gas is they produce air pollutants. Primarily the one we always talk about, carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases affecting the entire planet. So that's bad. And then there's also other air pollutants. In fact, I found a 2013 MIT study that said annually in the United States, 52,000 premature deaths can be attributed to air pollution from electrical generation.
Right.
How many people have died from nuclear power production in the United States?
I mean, probably a lot, right? If it's radioactive, and there have been problems in the past, and of course I'm concerned about all of those problems, because I am defending nuclear power's horribleness.
Do you consider zero a lot? Because zero deaths have been attributed to commercial nuclear power production in the United States.
Wow.
So civilian nuclear power is actually comparatively a lot safer than coal and natural gas.
Zero is a lot less than I would have guessed.
It's 52,000 less than 52,000 annually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's annually, not just total. 52,000 people annually have premature deaths attributed to air pollution. Zero all time for nuclear production. And nuclear is bigger in this.
I gotta pause this because there's something out there that people don't realize. It ain't just what's coming out the exhaust pipe. If you can visualize, when those rubber tires are going down the road and they're rubbing against that pavement, and, you know, depending on how hot it is or, you know, how rough the pavement is, you're literally ripping off little tiny molecules of rubber that's getting out there. And then when you got that jive turkey and that crackhead down the road that want to take and burn out, you know, they hold on the brake and then they'll power brake their car until you got all this smoke rolling up in the air, ripping all that tread off the bottom of them tires. Of course, they're going to have to go out and buy them some new tires. It's a good way to burn your transmission out too, you know, but hey, it's their junk, right? But either way, all those little pieces of molecules of rubber out there, you think that's good to breathe? So, you know, these folks are going to have to figure out some way to get some sort of biodegradable tire that's not going to, you know, be harmful if the particles get up there in the air. So it's not just driving your car, but even that, you know, building the car, and you're pulling the resources out of it and all that kind of stuff. How are these folks going to get around? How are they going to get from point A to point B? How are they going to get from their mama's basement out there to the protest place unless they're going to be riding in somebody's car with their, you know, brother or whatever? You know, basically, you know, take the bus, or maybe they should just not be hypocrites and everybody gets in a rickshaw or, you know, a sled or something like that, and or bicycle, ride that bicycle down the road or something. You know, but this stuff is just, 2019 ain't no different than 2020. Still same old stuff.
It's than you might think. About 19.5% of our power comes from nuclear power plants. There are 99 currently active in the States, running absolutely fine with no problems. The only time you hear about nuclear power is when something goes wrong.
That is absolutely true. And speaking of that, things do go wrong. We've had Three Mile Island. We've had Chernobyl in the past, not in the United States, but still a big deal. We also had the Fukushima Daiichi disaster in Japan. All of these things are terrible.
Right.
And they produce radioactivity that then is spread out into the environment.
Correct. Fukushima Daiichi might as well focus on that. That was the most recent. When that happened, a tsunami hit the nuclear power plant, and it destroyed the generators that were needed for the backup coolant system. Reactor overheats, hydrogen gas explosion blows its top, and it releases all this nuclear waste into the environment. However, for us over here in California, a lot of people were worried about nuclear radiation along the coast.
Right.
I live in Los Angeles. I have seen zero three-legged people over there.
And actually, I'm really bad at defending nuclear energy. But there's really nothing to worry about when it comes to the radiation from Fukushima Daiichi
here
in California.
Over here in the
States.
It
was terrible for the people surrounding Fukushima and the wildlife and the ocean outside of the plant. However, in anywhere else, it's fine. The levels are so low that it doesn't matter. But that being said, radiation, when people say the word radiation, it freaks people out.
Sure.
And they don't like the idea that nuclear power can have radioactive waste in terms of radiation from disasters,
right,
like Fukushima, but also from just radioactive waste in general.
What nobody mentions about the Fukushima Daiichi disaster, though, is there was another nuclear power plant fairly close by. Japan had tons of nuclear power plants. One of these newer ones was hit by pretty much the same earthquake, similar waves. It was more modern, though. Fukushima Daiichi was from late 60s, early 70s, and the design was more imperfect. The more modern nuclear power plant had no problem with the backup generators and backup coolant system staying online. It didn't overheat, and you heard nothing about it because of that. You only heard about this old power plant, which was also mismanaged. An analogy I really like is a comparison to air travel, right? Airplanes fly millions of people all over the world.
It's the safest form of travel.
It is, technically, and very rarely anything goes wrong because the airplanes are maintained, there's strict regulations, and yet, when a crash happens, it's all you hear about, and people are always scared to fly. And I think nuclear has a very similar correlation. It's very safe. It's used much more widespread than people believe. And yet, as soon as something goes wrong, all people want to talk about is how nuclear power is unsafe.
Wow.
But with proper engineering and proper management, nuclear power can be a very safe option.
And that's the key. Very proper management, proper safety protocols. So, a little bit about nuclear power. Nuclear power, it uses small pellets of uranium fuel, usually, that's the most popular, and then it takes those pellets and either smooshes atoms together using what's called fusion, or breaks them apart, which is called fission. Fusion is definitely safer, but we haven't figured it out yet.
Fusion, luckily, is constantly providing us with energy from the sun,
mm-hmm.
but you need a large, high temperature, very pressurized state to get these hydrogen atoms to react with each other, and you need something, you know, the size of a sun. So here on Earth, we haven't managed to keep fusion reactions sustainable. It takes more energy to get them going than it does than they emit.
Real output.
So right now, our technology we've been using is fission-based. We take very heavy elements, we bombard them with neutrons, they split, and the reaction releases energy. We use that energy to heat water, turn it into steam, run it through a turbine, condense the water, do it all over again.
Right.
So you're not producing any greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide or methane. You're just producing steam. That's what's coming out of those big coolant towers that people like.
And is that radioactive?
No, it is not.
Oh.
The steam coming out of a nuclear power plant is from a separate loop than the water used to cool the reactor.
Got it.
So the steam that's driving the turbine is not radioactive.
Got it. So here's some data that I found on nuclear power. Each plant is generating about $16 million in state and local taxes. The U.S. nuclear industry generates around $470 million per year, and it generates a lot of power in the United States. I mean, it says here, in 1980, nuclear plants produced 250 billion kilowatt hours.
You can think of it in terms of percentage. For the United States, annually, nuclear power is 19.5% of our annual power production. Wind is 4.4% of our annual power production. And solar is 0.4% of our annual production. And the problem with these other renewable sources, like wind and solar, is they can't be scaled up to meet demand, mm-hmm. as it happens. Nuclear power plant, you can, you know, turn up the generator, produce more electricity when you need more. You can't make it sunnier. You can't make it windier. And
no, but you can make it more efficient, you moron. You don't need nowhere near the amount of power that you're pushing all these appliances. So if you understand that and you start paying attention to basic science and physics, you can figure it out. But these folks, I swear, they're stuck in the Stone Age, and they're going to continue to be in there. thing, knuckleheads. That's why we're living in the movie Idiocracy.
Any energy that you don't use, the way our grid is set up right now, you lose. We don't have any way to store that and use it for later. But, okay.
We got plenty of ways to store that. We got supercapacitor technology. These folks aren't paying attention.
It's not going to kill anybody around. It's not going to produce problems with the radioactivity leaving the plant as long as safety protocols. So, as somebody who's not a fan of nuclear energy in this discussion, what about nuclear waste? I mean, nuclear toxic waste is a huge problem. You have to take these pellets of used nuclear fuel and you have to store them forever. I mean, not literally forever, but longer than even our civilization might last, there's going to be this nuclear waste. And that just seems awful and scary for a lot of people.
That's probably the biggest buzzword is radiation, radioactive waste, and it's terrifying to think of how long these things are going to be radioactive and potentially dangerous. There's a myth that there is no safe level of radiation. You'll hear that trumpeted by a lot of people who are anti-nuclear. That's not true, because being alive, you are constantly subject to radiation. A banana is a teeny tiny itsy bitsy radioactive.
True.
Just a little bit.
Fiesta ware. It responds to Geiger counters. The red one.
Mm-hmm.
I have
so
it at home.
There's constantly radiation. There is a safe level of radiation that you can be exposed to, but even still, this waste is above that. However, the amount that of nuclear waste that's produced is so minuscule. You get so much energy from uranium. The amount that you actually have to dispose of, if you were to take all that high-level radiation, radioactive waste, and put it together, you could fit it in a football field stacked 10 feet high.
It seems like not a lot of waste.
It's not a huge amount. You have to be very careful about where it's stored and watch it very carefully and make sure that, you know, it doesn't leak or break out. But I believe that humanity is up to the challenge. And don't fool yourself. Other renewable power sources aren't completely clean. Solar, everybody thinks, is this wonderful, totally clean energy source, but photovoltaic cells produce toxic wastewater. It's laced with cadmium, which is highly carcinogenic and seeps into groundwater if you're not careful about disposing of that too. So nuclear isn't the only one with issues about disposing its waste.
Right. On top of that, and I'm just going to drop this whole defending the other side thing, because I think we can all at this point kind of agree that maybe nuclear isn't the evil thing that we all thought. And I would like to mention that coal produces 1,562 million tons annually of waste. That's way more than nuclear energy.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about nuclear waste, a lot of people picture, you know, I guess The Simpsons, like yellow barrels stamped with nuclear and a big green grossness in it. But in reality, it's pieces of equipment that were used in nuclear plants. It's nuclear fissible material that has been spent, that some of that is also disposed of. But things like wrenches that were used to maintain things inside of the nuclear reactor close to the radioactive center eventually will have to be retired and then stored. So we're talking about pieces of equipment that are radioactive, but they're not so radioactive that they weren't used by humans in nuclear plants all the way up until their retirement.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has standards, guidelines on how much radiation human beings working in nuclear power plants can be exposed to, and they've done studies on their risks of cancer over that time, and the increased risk of cancer from nuclear power plant workers is negligible. The amount of radiation that these people are exposed to and working with is basically not affecting their risk of developing cancer at all. Just maybe a few more people per thousand. It's very, very minuscule. And yet you get this abundant energy that doesn't contribute to what I think is the biggest problem we have right now, climate change.
Right.
That's a global issue. That's something that's going to affect food for so many people that can't afford to take a hit in food supplies, and it's going to affect weather and storms, and more people are going to die of heat stroke,
and
all these other problems that are going to be manifest that you just don't have if you have nuclear power instead.
Right. And on top of that, people actually really like nuclear power. The people that don't like it are usually very vocal. But when surveyed, a 2012 study found 57% of citizens supported nuclear power. And in a 2013 study, 81% of citizens who lived near the power plants. So it was in their backyards, you know, to use that kind of term. They were also in favor of it. And, I mean, people love this power because it doesn't feel like you're hurting the earth quite as often as when you look over at a coal plant and you see it spewing into the air all the time.
Right.
You know, it's much easier to avoid a football field for 10,000 years than it is to not be able to breathe by the time we get there. So, either way, we are both a fan of nuclear. How do you feel about it? Tell us in the comments. Also, you can go find Julian on Twitter.
Yeah. That's enough of all that. You know, they're opposed to nuclear, man. They're for nuclear. I don't know. It doesn't even matter anymore. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle, man, of, ridiculousness, renewable ridiculousness. That's what it is. Renewable ignorance constantly. You know, if you understand what's going on with doggone nuclear power, coal-fired power plants, or even diesel-fired power plants, or hydroelectrics, if there's an issue and it ain't running clean, there's ways to scrub that before it ever even gets out. You can reburn the exhaust. If it's dirty exhaust, it means it still has fuel in it. Why do you think we have a catalytic converter on all our cars now? Because the car is only like 20-some-odd% efficient. And the rest of that, the majority of the fuel you put in your internal combustion engine goes out the tailpipe. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with right there.
Yeah, let me cut in there for a second, brother, because, look. Chris said in the chat room, I like how they first call it global warming and now they call it climate change. Yeah, that's it. There's like three names for it now. Global warming, climate change, climate disruption. And it's all based on bogus science. It's all lies. It's all stuff that they teach your kids in school. While at the same time, you got representatives out there that preach this like the gospel. You got some little girl named Greta running around talking about how she can see CO2. Yeah, man. And, you know, that it's all a scam. Every bit of it's a doggone scam. If we re-engineered these internal combustion engines, they'd be incredibly efficient. So anyway, let me see what I was getting ready to say there.
A quick music break. I got to check a few things out. I think there's an issue with the new player.
I did not have
of that to explain why it is that you're wrong, when in fact that you might be 100% on the dime, right? And it doesn't matter as long as you're sticking to the script. You're all right. You get outside that script, you become a heretic. That's why alternative energy, free energy, and all this has such a hard time trying to convince the world that we already have the answers to the problem you say we have. The environmentalists ain't doing it. You know, they don't care. They want to get out there talk about saving the turtles and saving the planet and all that kind of stuff. But whenever you try to tell them, look, hey, if you want to get this this resolved, where you don't even have to go out there and build new solar panels, power plants, and all that kind of stuff. There's technologies to make actual see-through solar panels that could be dual purpose, used for a greenhouse and producing electricity all at the same time. So we've got the technology. It's not like we couldn't do this right. You know, even talk about, you know, whenever the lifespan of the solar panel goes away, that it's not no longer, you know, putting out as much as it should, but it's still putting out some, but it's still not good enough, so, you know, you're going to throw it in the trash and it's going to pollute the environment. Why not recycle every single bit of it, just like nature's going to recycle every bit of it? So let's keep moving on here.
Despite their terrible effects on the environment and limited supply, for now, non-renewables do a really good job of meeting our energy needs. In 2017, 80% of the power used in the United States was supplied using fossil fuels, and the need for energy doesn't appear to be shrinking anytime soon. Another 9% was delivered from nuclear fission, the process of splitting atoms, which releases far less CO2. Unfortunately, fission produces radioactive waste and also relies on non-renewable fuel sources, such as uranium and plutonium. All of these methods operate on broadly the same principle, essentially operating as a heat engine. A working working fluid, often water, is heated by the fuel to expand and do work, turning the blades of a turbine. The turbine is connected to an electrical generator that converts the rotational motion of the blades into electrical power, which is then fed into the grid. So what about the remaining
electric? The turbine's going to karate chop the birds and the bats out of the sky, and people are going to fall off of them working them. So the death from the wind turbine industry, you know, is you know, biblical proportions, man. That's what they say.
7% of power. That came from renewable energy sources, the kind that are generated about as fast as we use them. Some of the major renewable energy sources come from processes that are naturally occurring on Earth. Wind power, solar power, hydropower, which is based on flowing water, and geothermal power, which uses the heat of the Earth deep underground. None of these sources are things we'll run out of. We have a good few billion years left of sunlight, for example. And what's more, renewable energy tends to release fewer harmful byproducts, like carbon dioxide, into the environment. Take hydropower, for example.
And how do they know we got a good few billion years left of the sun? They say the sun's a billion years old, but there ain't no such thing as free energy, and perpetual motion's not possible. So how is it that it's been doing it that long? That's pretty doggone impressive. How long does something actually have to keep burning before it could be classified as perpetual motion? Where does the sun get its energy from? You see what I'm saying here? Maybe the sun is, you know, sucking in hydrogen and oxygen, and then, you know, doing what it does, and then rejuvenating itself. Who knows? But let's see what else they got. And don't forget, you know, not only were the wind turbines karate chopping birds out of the sky, birds and bats, and people falling off of them to their death. But the the guy prior to that, anyway, he said that that the birds were catching on fire and falling out of the sky from the solar panels. And of course, that little town, they also said that doggone solar panels were going to suck all the energy out of that sun that's been around for billions of years. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
Which converts the kinetic energy from the motion of running water into electrical power. In a fast-flowing river, a run-of-river power plant diverts part of the river's flow, sometimes through a tunnel, to turn the turbines of a generator. That works well in some places, but the problem with this approach is that it's tricky to control the generation of energy to meet demand. You don't want to put lots of power into the grid when it won't get used, and you want to be able to ramp up the supply when the demand suddenly spikes. Like during the halftime break when the English football team, that's soccer to you Americans, played Colombia in the 2018 World Cup. A huge number of people in the UK open their refrigerators to grab a drink or a snack, causing the compressors inside them to turn on. Then there were the people who had already had a bunch of drinks. All those people simultaneously flushing their toilets during the break created an increased demand for power on the local pumping stations that maintain pressure in the water system. The total increase in demand was measured.
Alright, so flushing your toilet and freaking getting into the refrigerator is putting an extra demand on the system. So don't get in the refrigerator, don't flush your toilet. That's what they're trying to tell you. Renewable ridiculousness gone wild. This is what I'm talking about, folks. It's been forever and a day. These folks, I tell you, just don't get it. All right, well, why don't they, you know, put a little magnet on the refrigerator door so every time you open your refrigerator door, you at least put something back as opposed to nothing? Why don't they put a water turbine down in the crapper, you know, so that when you flush it, it produces electricity? Well, I got a few ideas why they probably wouldn't want to do that, because it probably gets stopped up quite frequently. But nonetheless, you know, you open your refrigerator, you flush the toilet, all these people during the Super Bowl do this all at one time, produces a demand on the system, and, you know, causes problems. So there you go. That's a, you know, some more of this renewable ridiculousness gone wild out there, and mad science unfortunately has to be the one to point it out. So let's keep on rolling here.
Basically, 1,200 megawatts. That's an extra demand for power equivalent to several power plants. With fossil fuels, you can control the amount of fuel being burned, and therefore the amount of power being produced. Run-of-river power plants struggle with this because the amount of power they generate depends on the flow of the river, which in turn depends on things like the rainfall during the time period and even the temperature. Both things we can't control. To get around this, the more common form of hydropower is a hydroelectric dam. In this case, you can install a dam that floods an area and creates a huge reservoir of water. The water then falls through the generator's turbines at the bottom of the dam, which turn the water's kinetic energy into power. If you install an intake valve...
Okay, now there might be an issue here with these dams as well. We know that wind turbines will karate chop birds and bats out of the sky, and workers will fall to their doom when they're trying to work on them, and they are prone to, if they fail, have big fires at the top of them. They'll catch on fire and explode and all that kind of stuff, you know, throwing parts everywhere and that kind of jazz. Well, not only that, then the one guy in the one podcast said that birds were literally catching on fire and falling from the sky to their demise because of the solar panels. And, you know, so there's another issue right there. Now you got the water turbines that you build the dam and the little fish just swims over, and then he goes, gets sucked down the pipe and mulched up in the doggone turbine, and then spit out the other side as chum. And so now you got all these fish blocking up the river down there, building a fish dam, and they're all suffocating because they're trying to eat the fish chum that just come through the other side, but they're all sucking up the oxygen out of the river there. So, you know, they go belly up and they float up, and you have a massive fish die off at the dam, all because the other fish done got chopped up and turned to chum through the electric dam down there.
Yeah, once that I'm all saying, starts man, to rot, it's going to stink.
If birds are catching on fire over solar farms, and birds are getting karate chopped out of the sky over wind turbine farms, and people are falling to their demise, and these things are exploding and putting people's eye out on a regular basis, then we got to get as far away from renewable energies as we possibly can.
Yeah, it sounds like the apocalypse, man.
You want all these people to get hurt and the fish to be turned to chum, and then the other fish at the bottom of the dam ain't got enough oxygen because all the fish congregated in there to try to get some doggone fish chum that just came out the hydroelectric dam. Think about it. What about those thermal electrics where they actually drill down and pump water down and heat the water up, and the water comes back up? Now you're going to have crawdads crawling up out of there that's all boiled and everything. They're going to be freaking out, man. Come out there screaming, ah!
Yeah,
somebody turn the hot water on.
Man.
All right? That ridiculousness, whatever worms are around that pipe, they're not going to be able to live comfortably because the doggone worms are going to get hot.
Yeah, let me cut in here, brother.
Deep.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, any talk about those cell phone towers out there with the heavy RF signals there when a bird flies over there and gets microwaved right as it goes past the tower. Ain't talk about none of that kind of stuff. That said that, you know, there were doggone birds falling out of the sky. They couldn't figure out why they were falling out of the sky. And you got all these turkeys out there spraying crud in the air, and you imagine being a bird, you're flying along, and all of a sudden you suck a bunch of that stuff up into your lungs, and you start choking out, and then come bailing up out of the sky. They tried to blame that on fireworks. I've been shooting off fireworks since I was a child. Hey, we never shot no birds out of the sky. That's all just pure ridiculous, man. It's beyond ludicrous. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Hydrate and look like freaking beef jerky, man. All dry out, nasty worms laying around everywhere because somebody had a hydro or a thermoelectric deal. And we can't have that. We can't have the solar panels sucking all the energy out of the sun. Then it'd be dark.
Yep.
Everybody'd be tripping over themselves.
It's not simple.
Because you know we got to get rid of flashlights, too.
It's going to get cold, man.
Unless you got one of them little wind-up flashlights. But then again, you know, there's going to find a problem with that. That little wind-up flashlight, the arm could break off, and you could punch your brother in the nose while trying to charge it up or something. And then he gets all mad and starts punching you in the nose.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, y'all fist fight, and, yeah, you know, fist to cuffs, you go to jail or end up in the hooskow, the clink,
the slammer. Off that too.
You know, the pokey.
The slammer.
That's not how dangerous all this renewable energy stuff is. All this talk of free energy and everything. Going to get people jailed.
Yeah, that's it.
Going to get people dead, man. Going to pollute the environment.
We just need to use fossil fuels.
Going to block
man.
Out the sunlight, and the grass ain't going to grow up over the top of your solar panel like it normally does.
Replace all the cars and school buses with ricochets. You're
just going to cut down all the trees, and everybody ain't going to be able to breathe.
Yeah.
That means you got to hold your breath for a portion of the day so you can let everybody else have some oxygen, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Shut your pie hole. Go your place and shut your face. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking to all of y'all.
You preach it, brother.
You want to try to save the planet? I'm going to try to save the people. If somebody's got to go, too, because we got like 7 billion people on the planet, man. We can't have all them people
breathing
out all that CO2.
He's got the cure.
Feeding all the plants. They turn around and feed all them plants. Next thing you know, we'll all be living in the jungle.
Bill Gates said you get enough vaccines
all over
going
us and everything.
On.
Spiders and snakes and baboons running amok. Might be a dang spider monkey choking around your neck, you know?
Yeah.
You know how ruthless those spider monkeys can get?
Oh, yeah.
They'll put your eye out, man.
Yeah. Ain't no joke, not to mention
ain't no
that
joke.
Thing.
Think I'm trying to not be serious? Look, man, I'll tell you what. We're moving into the movie Idiocracy. We're seeing it real time.
That's right. Don't forget, those doggone orangutans like Clyde, man.
You get karate chopped
on
the back of the neck by a spider monkey or a baboon or an orangutan or a macaque.
Yeah, definitely the macaques.
You ain't gonna think
it's
so funny. But put that alternative energy stuff to bed. Put it to rest.
Right.
Make it in the bud.
When you start jailing people,
first
talk
time
about
you get karate chopped in the doggone back of the neck by an orangutan, you probably ain't gonna have a breath left, man. That's what you think is a joke? Free energy.
Yeah, get karate chopped in the back of the neck with an orangutan. You're done.
Ridiculousness.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Opens your shops to control the water flow through there. You can even manage the production of energy to meet the changing demands of the electrical grid. Unfortunately, flooding an area with water isn't consequence-free. Changing the environment so suddenly and preventing the natural flow of water downstream can have devastating consequences for the local ecology. There's also the risk of the dam breaking if it was built improperly. Despite those challenges, hydropower has been enormously helpful. In recent years, it's produced as much as 16%.
Oh, yeah, there's another problem there. If the dam breaks, you know, then the little city that they built down at the base of the dam, which is probably one of the ludicrous versions of ridiculousness that you'd ever possibly think about.
Yeah,
why you would
intentionally
build a house or a city or a town downstream from a giant dam that you built, or even the fact that you built the dam after the town was there. The potential implications of catastrophic failure that may or may not happen, you know, due to natural or man-made deals, eventually the town's going to get ripped off the face of the map there because if the dam breaks, you know. So there's another issue that we got to concern ourselves. So you need to stop this sort of renewable energy thing, this alternative free energy thing, clean, renewable, and all that green energy.
Ain't gonna be so green, except for the
bankers and the doggone insurance companies and those who were buying up insurance, unless they call it an act of God. There's gonna be a lot of green changing hands if something fails.
Yeah, build bankers
you know,
house
build
down
house
at the base
out
of the
of,
dam.
Out of freaking twigs or straw at the base of a ridiculous dam in the middle of Tornado Alley. Yeah. That'll work out real well. So we got a common sense problem is what we got.
The world's energy, and up to 70% of all the world's renewable energy. The other renewable energy source that works in a similar way to hydropower is wind power, which also uses turbines. The main difference is that the fluid doing work on the wind turbines is air instead of water. One of the biggest engineering challenges here is designing the turbine blades to efficiently extract energy from that air. As we saw with fluid mechanics, Predicting the flow of a fluid around an object can get seriously tricky. Blades have to be engineered to withstand the stress they're subjected to, while also allowing the wind to efficiently rotate them to power the generator. It's as complicated as designing an airplane wing. Once again...
And you need to make those wind turbine blades out of some really soft material that's not going to karate chop the bird in half on the way by. You know? Because it's got to be engineered to be aerodynamic and be the most efficient, and it's got to be able to not karate chop a bird in half. How many times have you seen two halves of a bird come flying your direction because of some doggone wind turbine? And you think this is some sort of joke? Birds karate chopped in half by wind turbines? Birds catching on fire and dropping out of the sky by solar panels? Not to mention the sun's getting dimmer because the doggone solar panels are sucking up all the juice.
Yeah.
And then the dang fish being sucked down the pipe and turned into chum and bringing all them fish upstream to eat all that chum. Now gonna suck all the oxygen out of the water, and they're gonna go belly up, and we're gonna...
Hold on, let me cut in there for a second, man. You see, these environmentalists are out there huffing on a hookah or something, man. They got their face all up in this paper bag full of spray paint and getting their brains all whacked out and stuff. You know, it's all, half of them's on happy grass, the other one been chugging the wild turkey, and some of them out there toking on the bomb. Toking up, bro. You know, I'm telling you, these folks, they ain't got no doggone common sense. Go on with what you were saying there, brother.
Have extinction level events of tuna and trout and all that kind of jazz. Man, you better get off of this renewable stuff and try to save the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying, you're going to save the planet. People are falling off of doggone wind turbines on a regular basis, man. They're blowing up.
Maybe they ought to use one of them safety harnesses.
Putting people's eye out. And they're making the doggone place look ugly, too, man. So don't argue with the homeowners association. Just know your place, shut your face, paint your house chartreuse to match everybody else's chartreuse house.
We need to dress a bunch of chimpanzees up like Jackie Chan and send them in.
Flower pot.
That way they'll be able to come fooling everybody.
You can't control the strength of the wind to increase or decrease power generation as you need it. Even if that were possible, you still have to transport it from the sparsely populated open plains where the wind blows more easily to dense urban centres with low amounts of wind but high demand for power. Transporting that power becomes even trickier over long distances because you lose some energy as the electricity travels through the wires. For that reason and others, engineering considerations often play a big role in deciding where wind farms, as a collection of turbines is known, should be built. So wind power has only generated 4% of the world's total power supply in recent years. Location also plays an important role in another renewable energy source, geothermal power. Like conventional power plants, geothermal power relies on steam as the working fluid on the turbines connected to the generator. But in this case, you don't need fuel to generate the steam. You can drill into underground deposits of hot volcanic rocks, normally near the Earth's tectonic plate boundaries, to use them as a heat source.
Yeah, but see, if you go drilling into the hot volcanic rock down there, you might put a volcano up underneath your shack, Jack. You want a volcano in your yard? And I'll be drilling down into that hot magma. Tell you what, dang ridiculousness.
For a power plant. Then all you need is to pump water to that location and create another channel for steam to rise through to do work on the turbines. The biggest problem comes with setting up a geothermal power plant in the first place. It can be expensive to drill and explore for underground conditions that are exactly right and is only really possible in certain parts of the world, like Iceland and Italy. But there's one source of renewable energy that's so abundant and easily accessible, you only have to step outside on a bright sunny day to see it. Solar energy. In fact, the amount of sunlight the Earth receives in just a single year is twice the total amount of energy that will ever be extracted from fossil fuels and the uranium used in nuclear fission combined. The challenge is finding efficient ways to harness that energy because turning sunlight into electricity isn't simple. The most promising technology we have is called the photovoltaic, or simply PV cell. Most people...
Yeah, but see, you know, once again, if you go back and listen to those prior podcasts out there are people out there who believe that doggone... solar panel is going to suck all the doggone juice up out of there. Plus, there's all the toxic waste whenever people's solar panels don't work and they throw them off in the dump. So you're going to have frogs with three eyes, man. And your children are going to look funny, you know. So you got to watch out. You're going to have mutant children and frogs running around. So mutant children and frogs running around from, you know, toxic waste from, you know, solar panels, and birds getting karate chopped in half from wind turbines, and people falling off of stuff, and birds catching on fire over solar panel places and stuff like that.
That's why we need to stop
it,
man.
You know, here we go.
We just need to nip it in the bud.
When you talk about renewable energy.
Put all this renewable
energy. So that means renewable ridiculousness is never going to run out. See, there is a pretty good example of, you know, perpetual motion. The renewable ridiculousness, the renewable ignorance, the renewable jacked up education system that keeps on pumping out people who actually believe and promote lies such as climate change and climate disruption or global warming.
Hey, you know, hold on a second. We need to train some macaques and some chimpanzees and some orangutans to go around and karate chop people every time they see they're talking about climate change or global warming or climate disruption. If one of these macaques comes up there, or a spider monkey jumps on them, and then here comes the orangutan and karate chops them in the neck. Man, that'll straighten that stuff out. Get them monkeys all up in that schoolhouse teaching people what's what. That's how we got to go about that, man.
Days that if you used hairspray, you were depleting the hole in the you're causing a hole in the ozone layer.
Well, I saw a lady with big old hair
living individuals on this planet with somewhat of an education have no idea what ozone really is. Or how it's even created. You know, you got all that light and superheating the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen in the air, and it produces ozone.
Got 27 cans of hairspray in your wig, then that's probably an issue, man.
But your measly little hairspray cans is going to get all those gases to float up there to deplete the ozone layer.
Michael Jackson had all that grease in his hair, it caught fire.
Shooting rockets up through it, you know, all the time. That might be an issue. Whatever. You ain't gonna deplete the ozone layer either. So don't listen to these morons when they start talking all this craziness about how you're doomed, man. Well, oh, you're doomed. The birds are catching on fire.
Don't put all that grease in your hair and go next to a doggone halogen lamp.
Wind turbines are karate chopping pterodactyls in half.
Yeah.
And they're falling down on cars and starting a chain reaction.
Man, I saw a pterodactyl get sucked into a wind turbine.
Your arm breaks off of it, and you punch your brother in the nose, and that starts a riot.
Yeah.
This perpetuates.
You think they ain't going to retaliate?
It's a real thing, and I coined that phrase, renewable ridiculousness. You heard it first from Shaziz.
That's right, in 2019.
So if you hear renewable ridiculousness or even renewable ignorance, then you're gonna know where it came from. I'm gonna have to copyright that.
I'm gonna get me a gang of macaques.
Because when the planet goes to doom, I gotta say, that was that renewable ridiculousness. Nobody was paying attention.
Now I need a whole army of orangutans, man.
Madam, by the name given to many stars arranged together. Solar panels. Unlike everything else we've looked at, there's no trace of a turbine here. Instead, as we saw when looking at semiconductors, solar panels use two different semiconducting pieces to set up an electrical field that biases the movement of free electrons inside the material in a particular direction. In short, the materials encourage an electrical current to flow when they receive energy, which then travels through the circuit delivering power to whatever is connected to the PV cell. That means solar panels can deliver power directly to the grid. Between that and the abundance of sunlight, it seems like there shouldn't be an energy shortage problem at all. But as we've seen for the other energy sources, costs, fluctuating demand, location...
Energy shortage? Man, there are people out there in different countries that got so much alternative energy going on that they're begging people. They're even offering people money in some places to use more energy.
Yeah!
There ain't no doggone energy shortage. There ain't never been no energy shortage.
Not to mention, if you go out there to doggone sunlight, you probably get a doggone suntan blister.
Scarcity is a lie.
Blister size of Texas. You know,
they keep talking about how these are non-renewable, that eventually they're going to run out by this year or that year. They've been saying that for so doggone long. There was actual oil wells that went dry at the time because they pumped them out, and then it came back years later, and these doggone things were full of oil again. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I tell you what.
Well, it's the same process that was doing it back then and still doing it now. You ain't never going to run out of oil. You're never going to run out of water. You're not going to run out of trees. You're not going to run out of anything. You're not going to run out of food unless you just are practicing the religion of renewable ridiculousness and you don't pay attention in science class. If you don't understand hydroponics, aquaponics, if you don't understand different light spectrums and all this kind of jazz, then you won't know why it is the greenhouses pump the CO2 up in their greenhouse when nobody's in there. Because if they were in there when they did it, they would suffocate and die. You know? You got to have some oxygen in there. So people breathing in there ain't going to put enough in there to cause a problem, but pumping directly in there to feed the plants while you're gone, get better growth out of them. So either way, what they keep claiming is a problem isn't a problem. It never was a problem. That's the whole entire deal of the ridiculousness going on. So let's play some more of this crazy stuff.
Now hold on a second. I want to get a bunch of green berets and I want to put them on an army of chimpanzees and orangutans, man. Give them all hookahs and bongs to toke on. That way, get them all riled up and give them some monster energy drinks and stuff like that. Some Red Bull. That way we get these monkeys out there to clean house, man. Send them up in the Senate and Congress and all that. Get up there and talk about global warming, and then in comes the army of apes. That's what I'm thinking about, because that's the only way you're going to get them to pay attention. When those doggone orangutans come up in there and start karate chopping necks all hopped up on Red Bull. That's it, man.
And here, for starters, solar cells aren't all that efficient. The very best solar cells can convert 40% of the energy they absorb into electrical power, but they're expensive to produce because of the...
And if they're only producing 40% of the power, then that means you're not using it properly and you got waste involved in there, such as thermal energy that the solar panel's getting hot. Maybe that's why the bird burst into flames flying over the solar panel farm, because all that heat was rising and it was just like thousands of degrees or whatever. How much heat has to be generated to set a bird feather on fire while he's flying by? So you got cooked birds and wild turkeys falling out of the sky. You got people rushing in to get all that fried chicken and pheasant and turkey. And when they're doing that, it's blocking out the doggone light from it. And heck, they're catching on fire too, man. That's what's going on. Think this is some sort of joke, man? Get away from them renewables. Stop talking about free energy.
Oh, man.
The high quality of silicon needed in manufacturing, among other reasons. On average, industrial PV cells are about 17% efficient. Once you factor in the cost of making the cells and energy storage, solar power ends up being anywhere between 3 and 6 times as expensive to produce as that from fossil fuels. Increasing solar panels' efficiency would bring this down dramatically. Another big challenge with solar power is that, like with the hydroelectric dam, you need a way to store energy to control the production in line with power demand. You won't generate much solar power on a cloudy day, whereas you might have a surplus on sunny days, but you can't store sunlight directly. Instead, engineers are working on ways to temporarily store that extra solar power. These include solutions like batteries or even pumping water up a column to later give up its energy as hydropower during periods of high demand. Once again though, efficiency plays a big role in making both these methods a suitable form of energy storage. Despite the efficiency and storage problems, there is one major advantage to solar panels. They can be deployed pretty much anywhere. Rather than having to transmit power across long distances, solar panels can simply be installed on smaller scales, close to areas of demand, even on the roof of an individual home. But manufacturing
the
panels...
I just thought of something. She just said, even on the roof of the individual home. Well, you heard that other guy talking about how solar panels were actually causing the doggone birds flying by to spontaneously combust and catch fire and fall to their doom, their demise, you know. So you got all these solar panels on the doggone roof of your barn or your house, and the bird flies by, catches on fire, falls down, and burns your house down.
Yeah.
And then they'll turn around and the insurance company tell you it was an act of God.
Yeah.
Burn your house down from a flaming bird bursting into flames flying over the top of a doggone solar panel
array. Not to mention,
array.
You might be trying to put gas in your lawnmower when one of them flaming birds drops out of the sky.
You better get your act together.
And you better do it quick.
Tell you what.
Dang flaming bird fly down. Let's bring this unsexy issue.
One of the main materials used to currently make solar panels is quartz, which has to be processed to produce the high quality silicon needed for making PV cells. This itself is an energy intensive process, which offsets some of the total energy production of solar panels across their lifetime of usage. Even worse, processing quartz can often produce toxic byproducts like tetrachloride, which can end up spilling into the environment and causing damage to soil. That all sounds a little bleak, but the most difficult challenges in engineering are often the most important ones. In fact, the National Academy of Engineering in the US has identified making solar energy more economical as one of the grand challenges that engineers in the 21st century need to solve. Future engineers have lots of ways to contribute towards making solar more feasible. Currently, researchers are looking at new storage systems such as using solar power to drive hydrogen fuel production, which can be burned later on with no carbon dioxide emissions. More on that next time. And
so, you know, they're talking about all these engineers. I wonder where all these engineers are, because they sure as heck don't know how to engineer anything efficiently, because they sure as heck haven't done it yet. Let's finish this one out. It's almost over.
Engineers are also introducing new materials into production of solar panels and improving the ways in which PV cells themselves are linked and arranged on the panels. There are even experimental methods being developed that use new structures on a molecular level called nanocrystals. These increase the amount of energy given to the electrons in the material when light is absorbed instead of losing the energy as heat. That could drive the efficiency high enough to make it economically competitive with current power sources and increase the adoption of solar.
Well, hold on, it's my turn to pause, man. You know what? These folks talk about hydrogen technology all the time, but then they turn around and mock and ridicule you when you talk about hydrogen technology. Yeah, like the Mythbusters made me a really dissatisfied viewer, and I stopped being a fan of the Mythbusters when they did the hack job on the doggone hydrogen when it was trying to push it right straight into the carburetor with no flashback arrestor and got an explosion. Well, technically it would have been an implosion, but nonetheless they got it, and they're like, well, that's probably why we don't use hydrogen power. Now, these folks out there are just flat-out ignorant, man. They're constantly finding ways why we can't do stuff. Billions of dollars being handed over to the doggone United Nations for climate change research, and nothing gets done. Millions of dollars over on this side of the fence going to research, and nothing gets done. See, it's going to take the average Joe to finally get their act together and start doing this stuff ourselves, man. Are you going to leave it in the hands of these people? Yeah, I don't think so.
Right, so there are lots of challenges ahead in bringing renewable energy sources to the forefront of electrical power production. But that's all the more space for future engineers to have an impact and create new solutions to the world's energy needs. In this episode, we looked at renewable energy sources and why we need them. We looked at how hydropower, wind, geothermal, and solar power are used to produce electricity, some of the challenges faced in doing so, and the areas engineers are working on to make their use more widespread. In our next episode, we'll see how engineers have moved beyond natural processes to invent entirely new ways of generating power. Crash Course Engineering is produced in association with PBS Digital Studios, which also produces Eons, a series that journeys through the history of life on Earth. With paleontology and natural history, Eons takes you from the dawn of life to the so-called age of dinosaurs and right up to the end of the most recent ice age. Crash Course is a Complexly production, and this episode was filmed in the Dr. Cheryl C. Kinney studio with the help of these wonderful people, and our amazing graphics team is Thought Cafe.
So, the doggone modern day science is just about pretty much the epitome of renewable ridiculousness, and you know, they got all these theories about what happened millions and billions of years ago, and, you know, we all like, we were like some sort of chemical in some sort of primordial soup, and lightning struck a little pond, and the little squiggly thing was born. It replicated and become a larger squiggly thing, and then become a fish, and then become a lizard, and then become a monkey, and then become a man, and then man destroyed the planet because man got too smart. Really? I think it's going to be quite opposite. I think the dumbing down of the world is what's going to kill the planet.
I agree with
that. Dumbing down the renewable ridiculousness is what's going to kill the planet. And people didn't pay attention in science class. They didn't pay attention in biology.
And now they don't pay attention
in physics or mechanics. They didn't pay attention at all.
Makes about because they're sense sitting there buying the lie. Brass knuckles and
poker sticks. Climate change, global warming, climate disruption, hole in the ozone layer. We're all doomed. The doggone solar panels are going to suck all the energy out of the sun. The doggone wind turbines are going to karate chop birds in half and kill bats and bees and bugs. And people are going to fall off of them to their demise.
Yeah, we're
birds catching on fire, flying over solar panel arrays.
Flaming birds dropping out of the sky.
Thermal nuclear explosions because the doggone nuclear power plant.
Just think about that.
The crud going up in the air.
The bird flies out of the sky.
Acid rain and toxic this and toxic that. Man. I think people got too much lead in their paint. I think they got too much fluoride in their water.
They've been huffing on a hookah.
Got too much chlorine, too much of whatever that is
inhibiting
the natural processes of the brain.
Bunch of crackheads running the government.
Brain cells are just melting away. We're moving towards the movie, and we're going to live it real time, the movie Idiocracy, and next thing you know, they will be trying to water the crops with Gatorade.
Yeah, and everybody's all hopped up on meth, running around hollering about
what they're doing. Don't watch it. That's your future, folks.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it is that people are not literally paying attention.
Token on the happy grass.
They say they want clean, renewable alternative energies.
That's why you should
get high before
you go to
vote. When in fact there is no such thing as non-renewable. Nature recycles everything. There ain't nothing that you've ever used that nature did not recycle. Doesn't matter what it is.
Shouldn't be doing a line of coke before
you
go vote.
Even when you eat your food and it goes through the process, down the toilet, down into the septic tank or the sewage system, it gets out there, it gets recycled.
Half a gallon
everything
of wild turkey right before voting time.
Nature has a process for every single thing under the sun.
Got some Yukon
Jack
sucking
that down right before
you pull the lever.
Once you understand what nature's been doing, and you replicate what nature's been doing, then you can actually generate the same amount of power that nature's been doing.
You can't walk straight or think straight. You better not be voting at all.
They say you can't get out more to put in.
They talk about how the doggone don't like the president now. Well,
but if what you put in,
you get what you got.
You use efficiently.
Stop
you might be surprised at how much work you can get done.
If you ain't huffing paint, you might have some brain cells left and be able to
this is
pick
why
somebody
I do
who's going to do the
science.
Job right.
Because the people out there, the education system, the indoctrination system,
we need to get some money.
The propaganda department of the governments of the world.
Heck, we need to get some monkeys to be
and the misinformation of the industries of the world
we
are basically making it almost
like
impossible
president
to get the truth about free energy onto the table.
Yeah, we need
we've
to
had hydrogen technology since way before the 70s.
We need to get some people to sober up first.
In the 70s, Stan Myers was running around a dune buggy running on water.
Yeah, now they're talking about
because he understood the science and the physics.
That's it. can't.
And they fought him and fought him and fought him over that.
Yeah, they did.
Didn't want to pay him for the idea. Well, unless he give it up altogether.
That's why they do it.
But they didn't mind stealing it from him.
Nope. That's why they call it free for them.
Just like every other alternative energy researcher out there that put a working device in place.
But all those doggone
the system
senators
came
and congressmen
and suppressed
and women,
it.
All the ones out there preaching.
And
the
so you get those apologists for the governments,
yep.
For science, for NASA.
Teachers out there,
which
being
is part
like,
of the government.
Doggone mockingbirds.
You get the apologists coming out there and saying, oh, well, what are they suppressing? They're not suppressing nothing.
Anybody can say poly one.
Oh, really? NASA made some pretty amazing claims.
Take a big old hit off that
bomb. Pretty amazing technology involved
choke
in the process of what they've done.
You know?
Now you got to keep spent radioactive material in a cooling pond.
So if you're standing there trying to look
it'll
intelligent
get too
with
hot.
A case of bonger's lung, then you got to ask yourself
and
why.
And it'll melt itself.
Yep.
And actually, at one point, they're saying that Fukushima's reactor was going to quite literally melt its way through the center of the Earth.
Yep.
And then a volcano, a radioactive volcano would pop up right there where Fukushima was
yep.
at.
And that doggone stuff would get up there and set fire to the sun, man.
Well, I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
I don't get
if
it either.
If they did have a meltdown, and there was no water involved in the meltdown, it was totally bone dry, it's not going to like explode like you would think. It would just keep on getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and it would start melting even the concrete that it's setting on.
All right, well, I feel you, brother, but that's all the time we got for the Mad Science Show, man. I'll tell you what, go out there, send your favorite senator or congressman a hookah or a bong or a bag and some paint and some lead chips or something like that, and so they can get all ready for work early in the morning. Folks, I hope you like the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned for the Music with Kara Hour. Maybe we'll get some of this ridiculousness sorted through, and we'll get what we should have had all along. So, peace and love. You've been listening to Mad Science. Share the podcast if you found anything inspirational about it. Take care. Oi, 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 oi. Woohoo!